Hi, this is comedian Courtney Cronin-Dold, and you are listening to Shout It Out Loudcast with Tom and Zeus. These guys are hilarious. They make me laugh so hard. I could listen to them talk about Kiss and Chris Jericho for hours and hours. I mean, and they can go long, and it's good, like, the whole time. You're never, like, bored or looking at the ceiling or like, ah, are you almost done? Hurry up. I can't breathe. Get off my hair. You're just into it because it's that good.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star? Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
I mean, Ace Riley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the kiss times.
Is that a positive thing? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck them.
Clap them.
What are you talking about?
617-525-0.
You do? Hey, fuck them.
Do you like Kiss?
Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus, another episode of Three Sides of the Coin. Episode 213. Titled Shout It Out Loudcast. Did I do it backwards? I think so. Tom, how the fuck are you, buddy?
Man, we thought this episode was already going to be big, having three sides on. Then we record on the day of the big news, the big Kiss news. So we have an extravaganza here, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm annoyed with all of it. I'm annoyed with all of it.
I hate people.
I hate Kiss.
I hate people. I hate Kiss fans. I hate Kiss podcasts. I hate podcasts. I hate everybody.
But we love Shout It Out Loudcast. We love Three Sides of the Coin. We love all of you who listen to both of those shows. Welcome new listeners.
Yes. Oh, God, I just get so annoyed with the over-the-topness of everything.
Dude, we just spent another 25-minute venting. I'm telling you, we need to record these and put them up on Patreon.
They're so bad. Oh, God. Yeah, there's just so much things that easily tick us off about stupidity and the overabundance of everything. Like, I couldn't look at our Facebook feed because I had to put on our dorm damage episode on places without everybody and their cousin and Uncle Marvin telling me, oh, the date. Oh, Kiss is going to be on. Oh, here's my breakdown.
We get it.
It reminds me of the whole fucking Chappelle thing. Somebody, please. Get Ja Rule on the phone. Help me make sense of this. Somebody, please get a Kiss nerd to help explain this to me. Like,
this is, we talk about this with Mike and Lisa. It's like, and I know there are people out there that are going to blame us for being contributors to this, but like sometimes like the Kiss fandom, the social media, like, You suck all the life out of the band that we love. And it's just like, like on there, don't bother me for tickets. Oh, I'm not going to get tickets. I'm going to book the hotel. The tickets are going to be too expensive. The scalpers are going to ruin this for everybody. Then don't go.
Dude, you know what it reminds me of? Another sports analogy. Already, my Boston Bruins are breaking every single record. It's like almost the greatest season, regular season in hockey history.
Yeah.
Guess who happens to write a hockey article today to say, hey, do you remember the 1971 Boston Bruins with Bobby Orr that lost to the Canadians? They were unstoppable too. Dude, Dan Shaughnessy, fuck yourself. Stop talking about things you don't know. And you have to do that. That's the same mentality. Oh, you guys are enjoying Kiss and the end of the road tour? Well, you might not get tickets because the scalpers will come out.
Dude, if Dan Shaughnessy had a Kiss podcast, it actually would probably be like ours.
I mean, go get your curly-haired girlfriend over there.
Oh, you guys like Kiss? Let me tell you why they suck.
Yeah.
Tune in.
Who was it that called him his curly head girlfriend?
I think that wasn't that like Carl Everett or something.
Carl Everett, yeah. Yes.
Carl Everett's the guy who that Carl Everett's also the guy that didn't believe the dinosaurs were real.
I don't believe it. I've never seen a dinosaur. Why do I know? Why would they be existing?
But I like Carl Everett because he helped me win a fantasy baseball league one year, so that's okay.
Okay, Murph nerd.
Hey, watch this. You were in that same league.
Yeah, and then Murph invited us over.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, let's do this fantasy football league with Murph and his baseball nerd friends.
Yeah.
And me and you were looking at each other and like, these kids were beyond fucking nerds. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. We were like, what's a whip? Pull it out. Dan Plesak has got the best whip. Like, you got to add him as a mid reliever. I'm like,
what the fuck is whip? What's a hold? That's a stat? What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Where are the cameras? It was just bad. Well, by the way, we have an episode to talk about, right?
Well, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Yeah, we're just, this is what we do. We just vent. We just vent.
Yes. So before we do, we got to give a shout out to the man. It's tax season, Tom. So let's shout out to the tax man, Tony Barone, and the lover of Tool.
Oh, boy. That's right.
Oh.
Hey, Loudcasters. AB CPA Inc. is an accounting firm located in the suburbs of Chicago that can assist you with all of your tax needs and accounting. And tax season is upon us, people. For businesses, they offer bookkeeping, financial statements, payroll processing, payroll tax returns, sales tax returns, filing federal and state income tax returns, and help with starting your own business. For individuals, they offer help with sole proprietorships, rental real estate, trust and estate tax returns, and filing personal federal and state income tax returns. They have access to all 50 states. So whether you live in
Wisconsin
or
Washington State,
AB CPA Inc. can prepare and e-file on your behalf. Did you know, Kiss Army, if you own a business with employees and have had a 20% reduction of revenue that you did in 2019 due to COVID or state mandated shutdowns, you might be entitled to additional tax credits. Follow them on Facebook and LinkedIn and visit them on their website at abcpainc.com. That's abcpainc.com, or email our buddy Tony at tony@abcpainc.com. That's tony@abcpainc.com. Or call him at 708-430-3232. That is 708-430-3232.
Yeah, ABCPA Inc.
Woo! All right. So our poll was obviously related to our episode where we talked about the 20th Century Masters, the Best of Kiss Millennium Collection Volume 2, which covered the 80s, or yeah, non-makeup era. And we said, which of these four songs should have been part of the compilation? And the options were two of Zeus's favorites and two of Zeus's worst. Shandy, A World Without Heroes, Turn of the Night, and Let's Put the X in Sex.
That's really correct, Tom, how you describe that.
Yeah, literally like your two of your all-time favorite Kiss songs and your worst two, all in a poll.
No.
Because the winner of the poll at 39% is Turn on the Night. Second place, though, Zeus, 28%, Shandy.
Oh, Murph and his burner accounts.
And then 20%, Let's Put the X in Sex, and dead last, World Without Heroes, 13%.
Sucks.
A couple comments, and of course, our favorite Murph says, let's go, Shandy. Sorry, Zeus.
Of course he did. See?
Our buddies Adam and Orion over at the Metal Oasis podcast chime in and says, A World Without Heroes is an awful song. Get rid of Reason to Live and put on Turn on the Night.
Yes, Metal Oasis. Smart comments.
Our buddy Steve says Shandy is a great fucking song. So there. Yeah.
Who said that?
Steve, our buddy Steve, our longtime Twitter Steve. Buddy, Steve,
you have problems, buddy.
We love Steve. We love Steve. Oh, Ken and Satan's Service. This is like a running joke now. Ken and Satan's Service says, as a musician, Shandy gets my vote. Nowhere fan either didn't listen to the episode or doesn't have the CD because he said a better option would have been All Hell's Breaking Loose to appeal to rap fans. Well, Nowhere Fan, All Hell's Breaking Loose is on the CD.
Thanks for listening to the show.
So I am sorry about that. Let's see. El Pedo Caliente. So I don't know if that means he's a hot pedo. That doesn't sound good. He says, let's put the ends in sex is the only Kiss song I listen to with any enthusiasm. Okay. All right. And that's Twitter. We want to get through feedback here tonight because we got a lot to talk about. But that's some Twitter feedback.
On the Book of Face, Tom, our Kiss crews and Patreon buddy Jeff Kinsley. Man, he's awesome. One thing of notice here is that there's only one Gene song represented. Well, to be actual, there's only one non-Paul song, really, if you think about it. But it's mostly the 80s. What did you expect?
Yeah.
All the singles and stuff, with the exception of I Love It Loud, really were Paul's. Our buddy Mark Flores Music chimes in about that question of the week, Tom, that we had. From what I heard, the costumes of the Cycle Circus action figures were based on prototypes from what they were supposed to be new costumes for the band. The original idea to tie all the Cycle Circus together, the comic books, etc. From an interview with Gene at the time, he said that the new costumes might be too much change at once. The reunion had been successful, and with the first album, new material from the original band in 19 years about to drop, the visual familiarity of the Destroyer suits was a better way to go.
Translation, they're lazy. That's bold. That's fucking, but that explanation holds no water with me. So you have a new album with new songs, but you're going to wear the Destroyer costumes? Come on, dude. That's a terrible explanation. I mean, I appreciate Mark Flores for writing that. That's great information. But as far as Gene, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's still a weak excuse to not change things up.
Give me a break.
Mark has always been awesome, and we appreciate it, buddy. Over on our Loudcasters group page, our buddy Sean DeHaan. Yet another fun episode. Too bad it was for such a pointless compilation. Have to agree on the cover. They all look great except for Paul. What is with the look on Paul's face? Looks like he got cocksucker's cramp.
Oh, come on. You can't put that in there.
Jesus, Sean, I didn't expect that from you. And Sean, we hope you're recovering well, buddy. We love you, man.
Absolutely. My bootleg friend over there. Thank you.
And he's a hockey guy, too. I always forget that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Derek Rolando. I see what you both mean about Paul now. Looked like he's jerking it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the whole band looks pretty cool there, Bruce in that suit. But Paul, it's a bad photo. He shouldn't be on the cover. I agree with you, Tom. The other one should have been on the cover there.
Yeah, the back cover should have been the front cover. Yeah,
absolutely. Over on YouTube, Devin Dungan. I have a lot of fond memories about this compilation. One of my personal favorites. I would consider the first two volumes in the series a perfect representation. I remember my grandparents picking this CD up when I was a small kid and me looking at the booklet constantly because at the time, I didn't know much outside of original Kiss because my parents didn't own any non-makeup albums other than Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits. That's a common occurrence there, Devin.
Yep.
I remember being intrigued by the pictures of the different lineups and looks of the eras and wanting to explore the other albums. I had a similar experience with Kiss Alive 3 and MTV Unplugged. Love this compilation and great episode. Thank you, Devin. Pete Starro says they should have played I've Had Enough Into the Fire right off the bat.
Great song. That would never be put on a compilation, though, but I love that song.
Mark Cole, drum teacher, says 101:30. Yeah, I guess people aren't used to a short episode by us.
We'll make up for it with this one this week. This is not going to be short.
and our buddy Nige jumps in and calls us part-timers. and that's what I got, Tom. Over to you.
All right, let's wrap it up here with a fantastic email from a new Patreon, which we will get into in a minute. But this is our buddy Tony McKay emailing us all the way from Australia. And he says, hello, Tom and Zeus, 45-year Kiss fan from Melbourne, Australia, and I've only recently found your podcast thanks to some connections with the guys in Classic 78. What a blast your episode with them and their album. Absolutely, yes. I know you know Kiss had huge hits in Australia in the Dynasty Unmasked era, but you've got to understand they were the biggest thing there was. Australia's biggest selling single in all of 79 was I Was Made for Loving You. And in 1980, both Shandy and Talk to Me were in the top five units sold for the whole year. Then Music from the Elder arrived, and that was kind of that, although I made top 10 for a few weeks. But their Australian tour in late 80 was literally like Beatlemania. Girls were hiding in the boots of cars. I love that. That's a nice term, because I think, isn't a boot the trunk? Or, yeah. Anyways, because they thought it might be going to their hotel the next day. People going through the garbage from the Southern Cross Hotel on live TV in case there was a discarded Tang bottle, that kind of thing. There's plenty of news clips on YouTube that show them how crazy it was, and I was proudly one of them. To the point, though, related to your latest fantastic episode on Millennium Collection Volume 2, I'm as fascinated as you guys about who chooses the songs to be on these random compilation albums and how they choose. However, as a musician, just kidding, he says, no, as an advertising agency guy for 30 years, I'm well-versed in music rights and royalties. Knowing what was going on with the band in post-Peter and Ace era, I am entirely convinced that the Kiss business, probably at the instruction of Gene, looks at the songwriting credits for all these and works out who's going to get paid for these compilation albums. And keep in mind, they still sell good volumes in Japan and China and really all through Asia. I don't think it's much about what are the best or most representative songs of this Creatures Hot in the Shade era. It's about where every last cent of revenue goes and making sure it goes to the, quote, right people. Tell me that's not at least plausible as someone just picking obscure and just shithouse songs to get on the album. Remember, this is the business that re-recorded all of their hits for the 2008 Japanese Jikogu Ritsuden album using hired guns Tommy and Eric, ostensibly to offer fans a high-quality digital experience of their classical songs, but really so they could license these tracks to Hollywood and advertising agencies without having to cut Peter and Ace in on revenues. Maybe I'm just an old cynic, but I've been around the commercialization of popular music for a long time, and this is what it smells like to me. Having such a thrill going back through old episodes, now I'm on board. Thanks for each and every one of them. Loving, I've discovered you guys. We're on the same wavelength. Cheers, Tony McKay from Precision Marketing and Media Lead, Melbourne, Australia. Tony, first of all, thank you for being a new listener. Thank you for that amazing email and your insight. We appreciate that because you have a background. Thank you. And because of that, Tony, my friend, you are our comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. I like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Woohoo! Nice.
Yes.
That's awesome. Thank you, Tony. And Tom, we're going to continue to thank Tony.
Yes.
Because what we do next is we thank our Patreon subscribers. And Tony McKay is our newest Patreon subscriber.
That's
Tony,
right.
Thank you so much for joining. We really appreciate it. And, you know, Tony's all the way in Australia. Yet we have people from England, Australia, France, all over the world that are Patreon subscribers. So if you're interested, go to our Patreon page. You can find it on our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, right on the landing page. You'll see Patreon. Click on that. We have four tiers, all made up of the four original members. You can choose which tier that you want to subscribe to. They're all different types of memberships. You get different types of perks. All of it is part, makes you part of our family. The Patreon family, you guys know, we've been talking about them now since, what, 2021, I think we started Patreon. They have been tremendous in the growth of this show, been helping us tremendously for all our mechanical tech needs, books, research, all sorts of stuff. They help us continue. People ask, how can I help you? Number one way to help our show, if you want to help us, is become a Patreon member. And you get your perks. The Patreon family is loaded with inside stuff and March Madness tournament. We're in March now. Patreon members will play a major part in that. And there will be a lot of more information coming out about that. But thank you, Patreon members. Thank you for supporting the show. And if you want to do it, like I said, right on our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. Go there, check it out, see if you anything you like. If not, you could always go to the app. or patreon.com. You search in creator, you look for Shout Out Loudcast, and you find something that works for you. But thank you guys, and thank you, Tony.
Tony, thank you so much, buddy. We really, really appreciate it. And to all the Patreons out there, you guys rock. Thank you so much for your generosity and your continued support. It means so much to help this show continue to grow and continue to do what we do for you. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Tom, what we do is we hop and skip over to Kiss World. Anything going on there?
A little bit. Let's chip away at some of the tiny things. You know, some of the little minor things, and then we'll spend a lot of time with the big news of the week before we get into the interview with Mike and Lisa. So Zeus, take it away with some of the other things in Kiss World besides the major news.
Well, Ace is continuing to tour. I know I have a little fun with this, and I know it hurts the Ace cult people's feelings. Ace is live, great. Then why am I seeing 5 minutes of close-up of his girlfriend before Ace goes live? I know it shouldn't bother me, but it does. It is so clear. She's marketing herself. Ace, buddy, this happened to you the last time. Okay? When I see Kiss videos, I don't see Shannon Tweed with the camera on her face, and then all of a sudden the band comes on. I don't see Paul's wife come on, or anybody else for that matter. Or any other musician when the band goes on live. Why do I know her? Why is she in the front?
Because none of those other musicians you just named have dementia.
Doesn't have dementia. He just has space brain.
Exactly.
I'm just a little fucked up.
She's my new bride.
Apparently, he announced that she was his fiance.
That's right. We got an inside scoop from some of our contacts that they're engaged now.
Yeah. And that she wasn't very friendly. And little bit too much me. Is the camera on me? Well, Am I talking to everybody else?
Gee, how shocking. I would have never guessed that coming from her.
Yeah. Well, she's got a good-looking man like me on the side. I'm a chick magnet. What do you expect?
What else? Who else can pull off these rubber ducky boxer short swim trunks with these stick figure legs? You could tell I skip leg day.
Somebody posted that on our Loudcast.
It never gets old. Like I know we've seen that for years, but I still love it.
They did a close up of his toenails. I got to chip away at this fungi that's growing on my big toe.
Really affects my gout.
That's why I've been walking crow feet for the last 30 years on stage.
These ingrown toenails are a bitch.
That's why I was seen at Creatures Fest walking the parking lot by myself lost because I was looking for a toenail clipper.
By the way, if people missed that, that's a true story. Ace was found walking around the parking lot and his manager had to get him.
He was locked out or lost, and he was looking for like scotch tape or something, I think, or something like surreal like that. But regardless, we love Ace, but come on, man. I can look ahead and see the disaster that's going to come down. But anyway, that was that. And then, Tom, you know, because you're the streaming guy, a couple new things have kind of over the last little bit have now become available.
Yeah, two things that a lot of people have been waiting for. Sonic Boom is finally available on streaming, which leads people to believe that Walmart partnership has probably expired, which probably thinks now that you might be able to get some official vinyl on that or whatever. But the other thing that I'm really excited about, I'm honestly not sure what Zeus thinks of this, but I can't wait until we eventually get to the review of it. Kiss My Ass is now on streaming. I have loved that since the day it came out. I know Zeus is yawning. I think it's fantastic, probably because all the bands involved are 90s bands, you know, grunge alternative. I think it's a fantastic compilation of that, of those covers. So that's available. Those are cool things. The more Kiss stuff that's out there, the better for us as a show and the better for you guys to talk about it too. So,
yeah. And then there's the big news.
Yeah. So as everybody knew, Kiss went on the Howard Stern show today at 9 a.m. I listened to they were on for over 2 hours. Now, I have a job, so I tried to listen to as much as I could. And I was able to listen to almost every word of it. I missed a little bit of it. But it was funny because Howard introduces them, brings them into the studio, and right off the bat, I don't know if what happened, if it was like just overexcitement or something, you know, Howard's like, oh yeah, here's, you know, Kiss, we're gonna, you know, whatever, talk. And Paul's like, yeah, that's why we're here. Final shows, December 1st and 2nd, Madison Square Garden. It was literally like the first thing he said. I'm like, dude, like, how about some suspense? And that he blurted that out, and then it just kind of like faded. And I was like, wait, did he just announce the shows already? And then the next 2 hours was literally the script you've heard for years. Gene, born in Israel, his mother, you know, a survivor. Paul, his ear surgery, the deformity, the band, people using chemicals. But it literally the script that you have heard for years.
Chemicals.
I love when they use that word, chemical. Literally the exact same thing.
No, it's numbing themselves.
Numbing themselves. Yeah. Tommy Thayer barely said any. There was one point during the interview, Howard goes, yeah, and by the way, Eric and Tommy, hey, I don't mean to ignore you guys. Like, fucking say a word.
But I will, like most fans do.
Yeah, Tommy said a couple things. I don't think Eric barely opened his mouth. They performed three songs. They performed Detroit Rock City, Shout It Out Loud, and Rock and Roll All Night. They fucked up Rock and Roll All Night to the point where they had to play it again. Gene, like, came in during the solo or something, like, totally fucked it up. So Paul, I didn't see it. I heard it, but you could tell Paul was like, all right, we're going to do that again. And then, so they did it again. And at the end, Howard Stern goes, why don't we do it again? Like, just kind of fucking with him.
Yeah.
But they announced the final shows, which are going to be December 1st and 2nd in Madison Square Garden, New York City. They announced a bunch of other shows starting October 29th in Austin, Texas. Then they do a couple shows in California and Seattle. Then they do, I think it's a 9-show run in Canada. So they go from Seattle, they go up north, they go across Canada, down to Tennessee, Indianapolis, Illinois, and Baltimore, Maryland, and then New York. So they skip the entire United States. A lot of people were commenting on the fact that they skipped Detroit. They skipped Cleveland. So I find it really interesting that they're putting all this energy into Canada, which is fine. I know there's a Canadian audience, but they do Texas, two in California, one of them being LA, Seattle. And then it's Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Montreal, Quebec, Ottawa, Toronto, and then down south for, you know, Midwest for a couple shows. And then Madison Square Garden. So kind of interesting that they're doing that. I mean, whatever. Tickets go on sale next week. You can get the pre-sale code by either joining the Kiss Army fan club online or buying one of these horrendously designed t-shirts that they have on their website that costs $50. And the pre-sale, I think, is Monday, March 6th. There's a whole bunch of other different kinds of pre-sales. People are obviously freaking out, wondering how much the tickets are going to cost. People are already bracing themselves for scalpers. People, get used to it. Okay, it's the same thing when they sell a colored vinyl of Love Gun. Everybody buys it, and then a month later, they sell it for $500 on eBay. It's the way of the world. I'm not defending it or condoning it. There's nothing you can do about it. These tickets are going to be ridiculous to get. They're going to be very difficult to get, and on the secondary market, they're going to be absurd. So just brace yourself for that, okay? I'm not telling you anything that none of you people know. So other than the dates and the information on the show and kind of the boring aspects of the interview, there was one piece of the interview that really caught my attention. And Ultimate Classic Rock actually picked up on that. And it's a part of the interview where Paul talks about Eric Carr. And it was really, like, really shocking for Paul to talk like this. So I'm just going to read a little bit of it because I don't want to misquote what Paul says. He says, the one thing I think personally was a mistake was when Eric Carr got sick with cancer. Eric desperately wanted to work on a song, but he was still very frail. If I knew then what I knew now, I never thought this might be his last chance to perform. I would have let him play, but at the time I was sure he would beat the odds. Once we told him we were going to record Revenge, he cut himself off from us. Though I thought I had made the best choices at the time, I began to realize I'd been wrong. We had cut Eric off in perhaps the worst way, by denying him what mattered most to him, his place in KISS. Stanley admitted to Stern that he and his bandmates struggled to come to terms with the rarity and severity of his illness. He had a heart cancer, which is only about 6 cases a year. At first, we didn't believe it could possibly be true, and over a short time, it became clearer. He had major heart surgery. And I think that our brain just doesn't let you comprehend, at least didn't in that case, mortality. I didn't believe that he could possibly die. I thought this was a new ongoing condition. And I said, okay, he's got this, and then it'll go away. And had I known, I think we would have treated it more sensitively. We took care of him. We paid his medical bills. But we also told him, we're going to continue as a band while he's sick. Well, he wasn't sick. He was dying. We flew to Eric's bedside immediately as soon as we went to the hospital and asked, is there anything we can do? Gene Simmons added, Paul's right. You think, oh, he's sick. He's in the hospital. You just don't think he's going to pass away. Paul then says, in hindsight, you go, wait a minute. They told us he had cancer that affects 6 people a year, and somehow we were just able to. What we did was we thought we were caring. We didn't take into account the depth of what was happening. Yes, I feel bad about that. And he rightfully pulled himself away from us and felt betrayed. That's shocking to me. That is, that is a rare moment of introspection and honesty from Paul. That is shocking to me.
Yeah. And so all the people that still hold the grudge should be ashamed themselves. I'm sure Paul's been beating himself up about this. I'm sure Gene probably did too.
Yeah.
They've apologized. They've publicly stated that they were wrong. Now mind your own fucking business. Yeah. Who the fuck are people to hold this shit over him?
Yeah.
That's his life. That's the way he did it. He feels bad about how he did it. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. And I will say one thing, regardless of what you guys think of Howard Stern, in my opinion, there is no better interviewer on planet Earth when it comes to celebrity interviews than Howard Stern. He knows how to ask the questions that people won't ask. He comes across as a regular guy asking regular conversational questions. Now, granted, Paul and Gene are pros. They know how to sugarcoat a lot of this bullshit. And the fact that it was 2 hours was kind of ridiculous. I will say this right now. People are asking online. There was not one word about Peter, not one word about Ace, not one word about the final show. When I say not one word about Peter or Ace, I'm saying in regards to the final show. Yeah. There was no discussion about is it going to be
anything? Breaking news.
No, there was no. The only breaking news was the dates of the final show at Madison Square Garden. So it's big news. I mean, we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be in December. I'm a little bit surprised about the U.S. dates in the fall and how they're kind of sprinkled about in Canada and not really that much more in the U.S. But I don't know. We'll see. It's finally coming to an end. I mean, I know people are laughing and, you know, commenting, but this is the end of the road. And then we'll stop placing our bets on what's next.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty to talk about, as there always is.
Yep.
With KISS. And before we get to three sides, let me go see if I can get on the phone and see if I can book Vinnie Vincent as the opening act.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Okay, we're back. While you were working with Vinnie Vincent, I was trying to help Ace with some of his bunions that he was kind of trying to deal with those flip-flops that he wore. So he's having a real hard time. Poor Ace.
I got a bad case of athlete's foot.
Yeah, I got these plantar warts. They're just really, really bad.
Oh, Jesus. Well, Tom, we talked about this. We were talking with Mike Branville for a bit. Hey, you guys want to come on? Let's shoot the shit about podcasts, KISS podcasts, the KISS world, KISS fans. And they were gracious enough to accept. Fortunately, only Mike and also Lisa were able to attend. Tommy wasn't available. And Mark was, I don't know, having dinner. No, he was actually playing hockey and couldn't make it. So we got half of three sides. And let's hear it.
So our guest this week, if you're listening to us, you certainly have listened to them. They've been around for over 10 years, over 500 episodes. We have half of three sides of the coin here tonight. We have Lisa and Michael. Guys, welcome to Shout It Out Loudcast. Thank you for joining us.
So quick question, though. You said you've probably listened to us. That means all 12 of our listeners actually do listen to you guys, then, right?
Who knows what the crossover is, Mike? I mean,
we're told every week nobody listens.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into that. We are going to talk about that. Yes,
and that is one of the fun parts about this. So, we're so happy to have you guys on. We wish we could have Mark and Tommy. Tommy might be joining us. We'll see.
Yep,
but Tommy might be joining us, but Mark, no. I mean, so everybody knows. It's hockey night. Mark's on the rink. And the only thing more important to Mark than hockey is eating. So it ain't happening. I'm sorry to say.
That's okay.
That's all right. That's okay. Maybe he could play for his Detroit Red Wings. They could use players because that team's really not that good.
Oh, come on.
But that's okay. Yeah. My Bruins team is number one. That's all. I wish he was here so I could go back and forth.
That's right. You know what? That sucks. Yeah.
Lisa, do you have a Boston connection?
I work. My company's based out of Boston. So that's why I go up to Boston a lot. And I'll actually be there.
Oh, do you?
April 11th.
Okay.
Where in Boston? The city itself?
Needham.
Okay. Needham, yep.
Right? Needham.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Not too far.
I spent a lot of time in Needham.
Okay.
Good for you. Nice. Nice. The 95 corridor there, 495. You can kind of catch up there. It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's certainly different from Georgia and was it San Fran, Mike?
Sausalito, but that's San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just to be clear, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. Let's just,
Okay. This is fair enough. Fair enough.
Classic Pittsburgh right here.
I know. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I was there. It was an incredible game.
All right, welcome to welcome to Geography, the podcast here. We're going to talk highways and byways. So
yeah, there's no kiss. There's going to be no kiss talk.
No, we're going to talk about the U.S. tonight,
and then there'll be a quiz later.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. Your homework will be geography related.
Yep. Find us on the
map. I-95. Where does that take you? So, guys, we are happy to have you guys on. Obviously, before we were a show, we knew of you guys. And we said this once we started, and we say it all the time. You may not have to just like us. You don't have to like another podcast. It's okay, people. You can like more than one KISS podcast. Mm-hmm. We're all different. We didn't come in because we're saying we're better than them or they're better than us or something. Everybody has a niche. And you guys have a niche. You have it because you guys have been dominating since you started. Was it 10 years ago? If you say KISS podcast, most people would recognize three sides of the coin. I am saying this out loud. Tom will say it too. You guys are the big boys.
Yep.
But there's room for others.
That's right.
Of course.
And we have something, you know, we're, I think, a little bit different. But when I want to find somebody that interviews big guests, talks about certain things that we can't, I listen. It's not a big deal. I can listen to you without self-loathing or complaining. It's all right. And we're a little bit more humor. We had some jokes. We do some breakdowns and stuff. Everybody's different. You can take a theology class on KISS if you want to listen to FAQ. It's okay. Everybody has a niche.
And we can all coexist.
Exactly.
And we can all be friends.
And this is proof. And this is why we wanted this.
Of course. You
know, even at Creatures Fest, it was like, oh, Lisa's talking to so-and-so. Who gives a shit? We're all friends.
But that kind of leads us into kind of like what I kind of wanted to launch off, like a launching off point here. So our fans and your fans are very, very vocal and very, very passionate. I think let's look at Facebook. We welcome that. And sometimes it gets very, very animated, very passionate, sometimes to the point where sometimes comments need to be maybe, you know, handled in a certain way. So with everything that's going on in KISS world, we see that social media sometimes has ruined the discourse in other parts of our society, politics and stuff. Has social media, has Facebook, et cetera, has it made it more difficult to be like a KISS fan? Because it seems like everybody sometimes forgets that this is the band that we love, and they're bitching about KISS Online and how they suck at shipping, and the Dubai DVD that you never got, or the set list that sucks, or Tommy and Eric wearing the makeup. And sometimes you lose sight of that. You guys have been doing this for way longer than us. What's your experience with your fans, with your listeners, with your feedback, or just in general, is social media kind of screwing it up for being a KISS fan?
I'm going to say something first. Is that okay, Michael?
Go ahead. You can go first, Lisa.
Mike, look at me.
Talking. You don't talk on our show.
Go ahead.
No, I'm joking. I swear to God, I'm joking. Because I'm sure that comment will spark something too. I think social media is a good platform, but I think people are too sensitive. And they have to realize that if you're going to put something on social media, that you're going to have to expect that people are going to write an opinion.
Bingo.
And if you don't like the opinions, don't write the post. Hmm. I mean, for me, I don't really, if you ever look at my social media page, all my social media pages are sharing other people's stuff or about Pittsburgh, the Steelers, or something else.
Right.
I don't indulge in anything else because I don't really have time to go back and forth with people. But I do know some people that will put everything out there. And then as soon as someone says something, they get their panties in a big wad because they can't handle the opinions or the criticism. So in a way, I think it's good because it gives us KISS fans a sounding board to talk about stuff. But at the same time, it could be a little bit of a hindrance because that's where the sensitivity comes in, because there's not like two people communicating where you hear inflections and tone. So it's just words on a page without that backup. So I can see it kind of being a little bit of a bit of a hindrance too.
Yeah.
Here, I'm off my soapbox.
Oh, Lisa, just grow some balls.
It bothers me to the fact when I see people that will put something out there and then they get all mad because people aren't agreeing with what they're saying.
Or the people that put a post out there, like I refer to those guys as like, you know, like a bomb thrower. They'll purposely put something to antagonize the crowd. Mike is waving his hands right now. I wasn't talking about, let me be clear, I was not talking about Mike. Mike is laughing his head off right now. Mike, Mike, go, jump in.
Stir the pot.
Stir the pot. Right, jump in.
You know, so I've been involved in the KISS fan online world since 1995. Pre-social media. In general, it's always been this way, and it's never going to change. But I think social media is great because you guys probably hear this, and we hear this all the time from listeners who are like, I've been able to connect with KISS fans because I don't have any close friends who I can talk to about this stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. Your podcast, your page, your group, whatever it might be, has allowed me to find online friends. And that in itself is what's great about it. What people need to understand is, yes, social media gives everybody a voice. And some people use that voice not in the best ways. Meaning they literally look to start fights with people. Mm-hmm. And my attitude over the years has gotten to be, this is your life. So have fun doing what you want to do. And if something doesn't make you happy or you're not having fun because somebody's interjecting or sticking their nose into something, block them. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
Nobody on social media, a Facebook friend, is not a real world friend. There's a big, big difference between a personal close friend and an Instagram follower, Twitter follower, a Facebook friend, a member of a Facebook group. Those are not real friends. And before somebody says, oh, yeah, well, I've got real friends. Yeah, of course. We've all got a small number of real friends. But the reality is the people you know in real life who are real friends, most of us could probably count on one hand.
Absolutely.
Real friends that we know in real life. On social media, Christ, I've got like 4,000 people following me on Facebook. They're not friends, not at all. And
they're acquaintances.
My attitude is
good call.
They're acquaintances. They know me because of some other thing, the podcast, working for KISS, KISS Online, whatever it might be. And that's great. And I welcome and I value all of those people being part of my life until they decide they want to do something to my life because they don't like it. And, you know, if they come in and start leaving comments, oh, you like that album sucks, and you've got no taste in music, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't have time for this, okay? You're a nobody to me. It's the truth. You're a nobody to me. And the way I personally deal with it is, at least in the Facebook world, is the first time you cross that line, I just unfollow you on Facebook, you know, from following to unfollowing. Now I no longer have to see what you post. But if you keep interjecting yourself into what's going on, stirring pot, getting pissed at me, the next time I'm just blocking you because I don't need negative in my life. And I think this is something I think most people will learn as you get older. And it really didn't hit me until I was in my 40s. I don't care what people think about me. I'm not out here to make sure everybody likes me. You either like or you don't like. And if you don't like, I got no problem with that. But if you want to keep harping on me because of that, I don't need that in my life. You know, I learned a long time ago, don't worry about stuff that you can't change. And I can't change some random person I've never met from the other side of the world. So, bye. There's more than enough stuff in my life to keep me happy. I don't need crap being thrown around all the time. And that's sort of been, that's my personal attitude, but we've also taken that attitude on three sides on our social media as well. It's like, you know, we want this to be a place where people can have respectful, mature conversations. Not everybody has to. I mean, here, perfect example. You know, we just did that episode of over 10 of Kiss's biggest fails.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, a lot of people were that stirred the pot. Was it done deliberately? No, it was one of these things where, and I think I might have even said it in the show, I was watching some tech videos of like the 20 biggest cell phone failures in history.
Mm-hmm.
And the 20 biggest tech products that failed and Apple's biggest failures. And I was just like, I love those kind of things because it's looking back at history and what worked and what didn't work. I'm like, look, Kiss has got stuff. Everybody does. Let's do a fail on Kiss. Well, immediately there were fans that were like, Kiss has never failed in anything they've ever done in their life. And I'm like,
Michael,
come on.
When you posted the Vinnie Vincent and Eric Carr.
Jeez. Oh, yeah. I posted a picture of Vinnie and Eric and said, Kiss's biggest failures. And they're like, you can't call Eric a failure. And I go, I didn't call Eric a failure. You don't even know what I said because you didn't even listen to begin with.
Oh, I love those. Those are always great.
When I posted like Carnival of Souls and Elder as biggest failures. Oh, those are my favorite albums. I'm like, this has nothing to do with music.
Right.
This is success or failure. And what I got to with a lot of people is like, we love Kiss. We've loved Kiss from day one. We still love Kiss. They make us happy. But as fans, we also are, I don't know, secure enough in our fandom, if you want to call it that, that we aren't afraid to admit they've made mistakes. They've done things that I didn't like. They did things that didn't succeed. They did things that were failures. Admitting that doesn't mean we're not a fan anymore. You know, to me, it's the fans who are like, they've never failed. And how can you ever say they've ever failed? You're not a, it's like, no, you got to go back and reevaluate what you're looking at in life. If you go through thinking a band that's been around for 50 years and released countless albums, tours, members, style changes, there isn't one thing in there that you kind of sit back and go, I wasn't the biggest fan of that, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be anything.
Yeah, I mean, every year we start a tradition where, because Zeus and I are huge Seinfeld fans, every year in December we do a Festivus episode, and it's us bitching. We bitch about, it's like the airing of the Kiss grievances, and we bitch about the things over the past year that kind of frustrate us with the band, and people love it,
right?
Because you're right, Mike and Lisa. You can't love, you can't be a huge fan of something. I take that back. You can be, but it's not the kind of fan that any of us are going to be. You have to have some critical thinking and be like, I love this band, but that's just not good what they did. that didn't come out right.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, to say that, Bill Starkey is not going to show up and discharge you from the Kiss Army for saying that. and frankly, Gene and Paul aren't going to kick you out, and they're not going to look down on you. I mean, good God, those guys themselves sit back and go, "Yeah, Elder wasn't the best thing we ever did. Yeah,
right.
Maybe it wasn't the smartest thing to do this." They themselves can look at what they've done, and they can be critical, and they can understand it. The point is to be able to do that in a mature and respectful conversation.
Okay.
You know, starting with, Well, don't put words in my mouth about what I said a failure was, because you haven't even listened to the show yet. Listen to the show. Listen to why we said The Elder was a failure. It wasn't a failure because we don't like the music. It was a failure because the album bombed. The purpose of why they did that album bombed. There was no tour. It nearly killed the band.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a failure. That was a critical failure. Doesn't mean I don't listen. I still listen to The Elder. I love The Elder.
Yep.
I'm fascinated by The Elder. But I will also sit here and go, it was the biggest, it was one of the biggest failures that nearly killed the band.
Yeah, I like about three or four songs. The rest of it
come
is
on,
just
you're
painful.
Missing out.
Oh, it's
you're
look,
missing
the,
out.
The good songs on The Elder, I think, are good, but the other stuff is, I've tried. I own.
Pick an Odyssey, Tom. You'll like it.
I own way too many copies of that album than I should. Put it that way. Okay. So like we all do.
Yeah. One thing I want to bring up to you guys is, for instance, we have our, you know, people that love Kiss, and we have a funny saying, do you even like Kiss? Like, a lot of our listeners say that to us.
People say that to us
all the time. Do you even like it? Because you guys seem to bitch about it. I like, they'll be like, I'm in the car. My wife looks to me and goes, these guys are shitting on Kiss the whole time. We like to think that we're at least, you know, we're critical, but we wouldn't be talking about this band if we didn't love them. And so we get mad about certain things. Why don't they do this? And I know you guys may not like the whole set list conversation. We love it. We love to bitch about it. I know it ain't going to change, but that's us. We like to bitch about they have too many compilations. Guess what? The next one that comes out, we're buying it. We're like a bitch about shit, but we do it because we love the band. But I still have the right to bitch about it. And one of the things I do like that you guys do, and we do it too, we'll put people on that bitch about it. So you'll have a Dr. Fuck on your show. And he bitches about Kiss all the time. I know you guys kind of wink, wink, joke about everyone thinks you work for Kiss and you only do positive unicorn stories about Kiss. But you have people on that shit on the band. You've had people on that have been critical. And we do, too, all the time.
We ourselves have been critical. I mean, you know, we did a whole episode about the whole Destroyer box set fiasco. And we called out Gene and Paul. We called them out again on the Creatures box set fiasco. We called them out on Dubai. We have, you know, this is always what we get back to. If you actually have listened to us, you will know we are not afraid to call the band out or band members out for anything they've done over the year. It's not all hugs and kisses on our show.
That's right.
You know, we do it in a what I like to always say, a mature, respectful discussion manner. It's not just trolls shitting on something for the sake of shitting on it.
And these are our opinions too. I mean, not end all be all Kiss through. These are just our opinions. And you know, when like Mike said, when we speak about things that, you know, like the box sets, it's because we've experienced them.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't experience them, the first thing I say is I did not partake in, but this is what I saw. So we're not going to talk about things that we didn't experience ourselves. Like even when I talked about Creatures Fest, when I did my review on Creatures Fest, I didn't partake in some things. Mm-hmm. So I always said, I don't know. I didn't partake in this. However, this is what I observed, because these are just our opinions.
Oh, are we allowed to talk about what you weren't allowed to partake in?
No.
I asked,
Lisa, that's a perfect example of talking about, like, for example, when we did our Creatures Fest review, I think one of the biggest surprises that we got from our listeners was our straight ahead, honest review of our experience with Vinnie Vincent at the meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was incredibly shockingly pleasant. Okay. And everybody was like, I can't believe that. And we're like, we're telling you our experience.
And again, it was your experience and your opinion.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
might have had the fantastic experience, and that's great. Some people might have had a shitty experience, and that's their opinion. But it's people's opinions. Who cares?
Right.
You know, who cares? I'm glad you guys had a great experience. That's fantastic.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It sucked up until we got into media.
Oh, yeah, because it took
us waited like 4 hours and missed like four acts.
We missed pretty much every show on the Saturday of Creatures Fest because we were in line waiting.
And then he wouldn't shut up when we were talking to him, and he was very friendly and outgoing.
Right.
He heard that I was an attorney. He said, oh, an attorney. Can I get free legal work? But he was like really friendly. And, you know, I was telling him how much I loved one of his songs that time of year. And his eyes lit up. Oh my God.
He'll give you an autograph in exchange for services. He values that autograph at $5,000.
Yeah, we've heard that one. Yeah. But I did want to say, I was going to share a story earlier off air with Lisa, and I told her, let's save it for on the air. We were talking about Creatures Fest. And I said, there is a three sides tie into this. Michael has no idea, and he's going to probably hang up when he hears this story.
Oh God. I don't know where you're going with this either, I don't think.
Yes, you know the story. You were there.
Michael has a thick skin. He can dish it out.
Okay.
Years ago, I listened to you guys when you did your Kiss Cruise experience. You guys talked about it. And this is before we went on the Kiss Cruise. I think this was Kiss Cruise 9. Tommy was talking about something going on, and he was all this.
Now you know. The Kiss Cruise he went on. Tommy only went on one. Okay.
And he was saying he had a good time, but then he was going into, you know, how Kiss fans are. Everybody's pushing old ladies and kids just to get a gene pick and all that stuff. And then he was saying that he heard somebody bragging and laughing that they defecated in the elevator. And Tommy was disgusted by it. I could not stop laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing. A Kiss fan, typical Kiss fan, falls asleep and shits himself in the elevator. So my mind, like a two-year-old, goes, huh. When we go to Creatures Fest, how much does that thing cost? Oh, $9. I'll order from Amazon. Liquid ass spray.
Wait. That story that Tommy told, oh my, it inspired.
That's what I thought of. And so in the elevator, we're on like the 11th floor. And you would call the elevator, and there's three elevators. And I would look to see if anybody was coming. Nobody's coming. The elevator opens up. I would spray two squirts to the middle elevator and just let it go. And then we'd hit the elevator again and go down to the other one. We would go down two flights, and he had no idea sometimes. And all of a sudden, we'd go only two floors, and somebody would stop the middle elevator and get off and jump into our elevator and go, what the fuck? Who died in that elevator?
Then you see people running down to the front desk. So there's an accident. Something happened in the elevator shaft. There's a problem.
We would be all over that place, that hotel, and you would just overhear people saying, "Yeah, I heard a homeless person shit himself in there." Oh, I heard, and then they would see like police tape across the middle elevator, and a poor lady with a mop in the elevator.
Wait. So this is all Tommy inspired.
I gotta tell my side. So exactly what they just said, right? So I think I was like on the fifth floor or something like that. I forget what floor I was on. And I get in said middle elevator, okay? And it's like me and one other person. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm looking on the floor. I'm like looking on the bottom of my shoes. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I'm like, I can't take this anymore. So I'm like, I must have jumped out on floor two. And I'm like,
don't go in the middle elevator.
I said it just like that because here's reason why. First of all, you don't want people getting in thinking it's you.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
And that'll stay on you too.
I'm thinking, oh God. So there's only me and this other person. The other person got in after me. So you know the blame is right.
Lisa filled her pants in the elevator.
I'm bailing before.
That blonde girl pooped herself in the elevator, I think.
I'm bailing before I get involved in the blame game. All right. So we go down to I jump out, and then I end up taking the stairs. But as I'm announcing to everybody on that floor, don't go in that elevator. So I go down to the bottom floor. Meanwhile, my eyes are watering. It was that bad.
Maybe it's better that Tommy didn't make it on this episode tonight.
It spreads like wildfire, right? Someone shit themselves. Someone, like, shit themselves and lift their pants. I mean, it turned into this, like, you know, like, you, like as an actor.
The telephone game.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes, it went around.
You know, it's like I ripped my fingernail off. And by the time it gets to the 30th person, Lisa's arm came off.
Exactly. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Now, the story has now circulated. Okay. Yep. And it, and then I'm like, and I didn't even think anything of it except just how ranty it was. Okay. People are going to the front desk and he, like, there was police tape.
literal police tape.
You could not go
in. It was
in.
A crime scene.
There, literally, and the lady was in there. She was like doing like steam
mopping the floor. I know.
Yeah, that's like the guy in the Kiss Cruise that had like a hazmat suit on cleaning up the men's room.
And then I kind of forgot about it. Yeah. Okay, I just completely forgot about it, and it kind of like made its way and it was still funny, but you could hear like chitter chatter, right? Mm-hmm. So then I get a text from Craig Gass. Did someone shut themselves in?
See,
this might have been like 3 weeks later, just out of the blue. Did someone shit themselves in the elevator?
That was from Courtney. She spread that after.
See, we're good friends with Courtney, who's friends with Craig.
We didn't say it yet. And then I back to him. Oh my God, did they? Like, is that what you really heard? And he's like, no, I'm asking you. And I was like, I don't know. I think so. So then I listened to your show. I about peed.
That was the big reveal.
Nobody knew. And the funny thing is, like, is Casada, which you guys, I'm sure, all know Joey.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Joey said had her moment about the hand sign. Did you hear that one? The warm hand sanitizer.
Yeah, this, some guy gave him warm hand sanitizer out of his pocket.
It was like some, I forget who it was. I don't even know. So I can assume and. Like, you know, we're like touching shit. And like, they had a little hickey at the thingy, like at the elevator. We went, but there's out.
Yeah.
So we went over to do it and there was none in there. We just kind of looked at each other. And then the guy was like, you want some of mine? And we're like, okay. And he can't. And it was like warm.
Oh, I mean, it was bucket.
Like, it was not body temperature warm. It was like warm.
Disgusting.
And me and Joey are like this. We're like, I felt like, hands after we just sanitized them, because God, I don't even know what that was in that bottle, but it was really
all I know is Joey kept telling us the story that it happened with him because the Vixen girls were there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They must have some like Brazilian bassist who couldn't speak English very well. And yeah. She was like, oh my God, shit, smell shit, shit in the elevator. She was ended up on the Kiss Cruise too as well.
Oh yeah, Vixen was on the Kiss Cruise. That's right. So
the men's room across from the dining hall, the buffet.
Which leads you out onto the pool deck. It's all right there.
Somehow that got destroyed as well every other day.
Yeah.
That one had literally a guy in a hazmat suit.
He had like, you know, those like those big giant steam cleaners that you hook up like a hose to like clean out the poor guy.
They had a lock on the door.
That was you guys too, wasn't it? Or was that a legitimate shit issue? You guys. That's fucking funny. I'm sorry.
We can't hear heads nodding up and down on audio.
Nobody's nodding.
Yeah.
Everybody gets on Michael and the guys because they're like, oh, you treat Lisa like burr, 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 right? I think that is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Love it.
I laughed so damn hard after I heard the reveal. I was like, that is hysterical.
Well, that's our sense of humor. And this is what our show is. We don't have the experience. We don't work with Kiss. We're not musicians, neither of us. We've never done anything. All we are two best friends from college that had this same silly, stupid sense of humor. And we were the only idiots that liked Kiss. When we graduated in 95 from college, 94, before the makeup went on, we went at Halloween as Kiss in makeup.
You should have seen the stares we got.
People were looking at us like, I don't get this. Is this a joke? Why are you dressed like we were still like Kiss wasn't popular again yet.
Right. This was October 94. No one paid attention to Kiss. Yeah. Like,
is that Kiss?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And they're like, I don't get it. But we fell in love with it. And then, like, Tom and I, over the years, would text each other KISS stuff and all this stuff. And he got into podcasts, and he would say, this is awesome. You should listen. I'm like, what's a podcast? I mean, this is 2018, 19. I didn't even know of it.
It was Three Sides of the Coin and Kistery Science Theater. Because I remember podcast. I remember searching. I'm like, I wonder if there's a KISS podcast out there.
And then I saw all your conversations. Holy shit. And that's when podcasts were starting to explode. I'm like, this is awesome. How do we do that? I don't know. Let's go on YouTube. YouTube stuff.
Yep.
We YouTubed our way into it. We keep our sense of humor because we look at it as like, if you can't have fun talking about KISS,
then you can't have fun with anything.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Well, we've always said if you can't laugh at yourself.
Yep.
I mean, come on. We're 50 plus years old KISS fans here. Yeah, we spend 2 hours a week talking about this band that wears makeup and high heels. We can't take ourselves serious. If you are taking yourself seriously, you got a problem here.
Yeah.
Because you got to be able to laugh at. And that's why when Tommy and I first talked about this, like 10 years, I was like, Tommy, if we talk about KISS, we got to talk about KISS fans.
Because
KISS fans are. You know, and listen, because I came from working with KISS and KISS websites, I've experienced the KISS fan crazy.
I can only imagine.
You know, I'll just leave it at crazy. That's the polite way I will just leave it. Crazy that happens online. And I go, we got to be able to talk about that. He's like, then let's talk about it. We got to talk about fans. So we've always said, we'll talk about fans. But we're fans ourselves, yeah, so we're talking about ourselves here.
Yeah, self-deprecating humor, right?
Yeah.
You gotta be able to
We're going
to
laugh at ourselves. We're going to criticize ourselves. I mean, you got to be able to do that. If you're trying to be dead serious about this, it's the wrong fucking band and the wrong fucking topic for a podcast to be serious about.
There's too much, especially now, much going on with a band like that's off stage.
That's why it's worth it, though.
It's worth the discussion. It's worth the jokes. It's worth having you guys on to talk about it. Like that's the thing is because people when you tell people, which I usually don't, but when you tell people that you do a KISS podcast, they're like, what do you talk about? I'm like, well, we've done over 200 episodes. You guys have done over 500 episodes. I'm like, it's the gift that keeps on giving forever.
Yep. Yeah.
We love our listeners. But when they have like friends of ours and friends of yours, you guys know Kevin Jepson.
Yeah, I know.
When he sits there and goes, Seuss, look what I got. And it's Paul Stanley's carpet from his house. We use the line from 40 Year Virgin. Why do you have that? but we're with him. Because if he goes, hey, I'll cut you off a piece, I'll be like, all right, I'll take it. But like, it's funny to make fun of us. Why are you people buying like bricks from?
Dude, we got one of our co-hosts sits in a basement.
Yeah, filled we know.
With KISS crap that he's spent his entire life gathering. How can you not sit there and go? And we do. We're like, hey, Billy Rowe from Buck Cherry is going to come to Mark Cicchini's basement. Billy, you might want to bring somebody along with you because you might not leave that basement. Mark might stick you in the corner. You got to have a safe word. You got to call somebody that if they don't hear from you, they send the police. I mean, we joke about Mark himself will joke about it. We joke about it. I mean, you have to. You can't be serious, people.
He'll say, oh, I have that. And we'll go. Like ding.
But that's all the way the things are right now. If you listen to people tell you the stories about like their KISS collection, I always like to joke to them and go, You know, on the sad day that you pass away, you know your family's going to get a fucking dumpster and just chuck all your kids' shit in
or the dumpster. Or they'll sell it. Or they'll sell it.
If they're smart, they
won't
will.
Think they'll it's worth it. Anything. But they'll
have
it.
A garage. They'll have a garage sale, and it'll be everything's a dollar each.
And Mark Cicchini will be there. And he'll buy it all up.
Exactly. I mean, I, you know, in all seriousness, but I say it in a joking manner. I'm like, people are always like, Mike, how come you've never gone on the Kiss cruise? Well, the legit reason is because my daughter's birthday is on November 1st, and okay. the cruise always falls on that. I'm like,
no excuse
I'm not
now.
Skipping my daughter's birthday to go on a Kiss cruise.
You don't,
but
now you don't have
but
an
secondly,
excuse.
I'm like, I don't want to be stuck on a ship with 5,000 crazy Kiss fans that I can't get away from. Seriously, I don't want
most
that.
Part,
I might be able to.
And the Mike,
be able to
you're
leave.
Safe. I was the same way. Zeus is relentless, and he finally beat me like a dog until I finally said, "Fine, I will go." And I loved it, and we went again.
You can get away, Mike. You can find your space.
There's no doubt I would have fun, but at the same time, I'm just like, I don't want to be stuck in a confined space, i.e. a cruise ship, that the only way off is to jump overboard. You know, at least at a Kiss Expo, if things get a little heavy and heated and
you can
whatever,
leave the building.
You can leave. You can go have pizza somewhere. You can't do that on a Kiss cruise. And it's 5,000 crazies.
So that's a great segue, because I wanted to we're talking about all this great stuff, the fans and all that stuff. Let's talk about the band for a minute and what they're doing like right now and like the state of Kiss. So the cruise, okay, the final cruise is going to be January of 24, and they're not going to be.
They never said final.
Well, the final with them.
No, they never said
they're not going to be wearing makeup on the cruise anymore. I take that back. It's not the final cruise.
Right.
Is Zeus talks about, we talk about this. Is Kiss now in the business of like diminishing returns? Where like we're gonna keep offering you things, but it's gonna be less and less and less, and we're not gonna change the price of this. So we're gonna keep doing the cruise, but now this year we're not gonna do meet and greets. We're not gonna do this. Now this year we're gonna be on the cruise, but we're not gonna wear makeup. But
or we're gonna give you something, but it won't be autographed. Or you don't get to meet the band unless you buy a guitar for $5,000.
Right.
So if you look at the first few cruises and you look at the last few, everything is going away. The price is going up, but all the perks and stuff they were giving keep going away. Look at the original meet and greets. Right. Now, look how much you have to pay. Or even like when you first got the vault with Gene. Now, just send me $400. I'll give you a couple of CDs worth of my crap songs I didn't put on an album. Everything diminishes, and that's part of the Kiss problem. I feel like the fans never say no, and if they can get away with it, I don't blame them.
Well, yeah, I mean, so one thing we always say, and not just like about Kiss now, the only vote you have in anything related to Kiss is your wallet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Posting on a Facebook group, sharing a YouTube video, doing a podcast ain't going to change anything.
Right.
Not a thing is going to change because of that. The only thing that will cause change is your wallet. And what does that mean? Don't spend your money. That's the way it is with any business on this planet. If you don't like a restaurant, don't go buy food. The second you walk into something you hate and buy something, that's telling them you like it and they're going to keep doing it. So that's first thing Kiss fans got to remember. You got to vote with your wallet. If you don't like something, just posting that on Facebook isn't going to mean squat. You can post it on Facebook, but follow through and not buy the concert ticket. Don't go to the cruise the next time. Now, I think the diminishing returns, this is just my pure speculation. This is a period of change for Kiss, obviously. Yep. I mean, let's be honest, these guys are 70 plus years old. 50 years ago, not a single one of the guys in KISS ever had a single thought in their head that they would still be doing this 50 years later. I don't think there's a single band on the planet that ever thought their band would still be performing 50 years later, 40 years later, you know, meaning the Kisses, the Aerosmiths, the Motley Crues, the Def Leppards, the Styx, the REOs, all these bands that people are like, oh, you know, they're not full of energy anymore. They're, you know, they're getting tired or whatever, whatever people say. Yeah, that's true. But nobody, meaning the business or bands, ever thought it would get to this point where a band could last so freaking long. Everybody was like, yeah, 5 years and we're done, 10 years at the max and we're out of here. And this has never happened before. So nobody can sit back and go, well, let's look at how this band did it. How did this band 20 years ago transition being 70 years old? It's never been done. It's a brand new territory, not just for KISS, but for all of these bands and the entire business of, well, how do we do this? I mean, we have people who want to still spend money to go see us, but I can't get on fucking stage anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, we say this, whatever you like to say about Paul Stanley, the guy has destroyed his body for our entertainment. Mm-hmm. He has had every major joint in his body replaced so we could have KISS concerts.
It's true.
I mean, that's crazy when you think about it. And at some point, and I'm sure that's what led to the end of the road, he's like, I can't keep doing these long, extensive tours. They are just painful. It takes me longer to get ready, physically ready. It takes me longer to get down off of that tour. Plus, I've got family. I've got kids that become more important to me. Everything's changing right now. So is the KISS cruise a diminishing return? Yeah. Was it planned that way to say, screw you, we're going to take all your money and give you less? Of course not. But it's more of, shit, do we have to keep going? And do we have to spend a week confined to a cruise ship after a major pandemic when we're 70 plus years old? And we've each had it already, and underlying conditions, they're like, no, I don't want to risk my life for this anymore. So let's see what happens. And I sort of feel like that's where we are right now in the KISS world is, let's see what works and what doesn't work. We don't know. The end of the road. This shouldn't be news to anybody who's a KISS fan who's been paying attention. It's not the end of KISS.
Oh, no.
KISS isn't done. They have clearly stated, we are done just doing extensive tours. That's it. They've said, maybe we'll do spot shows here and there. We could do a residency. Residencies are easy for all bands. Mm-hmm. There's no travel involved. You get off the stage and you go up to your suite. You get out of your suite, you get on stage. That's it. So this is all new ground that they're trying to figure out what will work and what won't work. Gee, maybe we can still continue the KISS cruise because fans love getting together and hanging out. But we can't keep bringing an entire production on there and do all of this stuff. They might see that the fans don't like it. And that does end the KISS cruise, or it goes back to the argument people have always said. Well, do you think Gene and Paul will replace themselves in the band? You know, my honest opinion is they'll try it, and they're like, "Will you go see it?" I'm like,
"No,
I gotta wait and see what it looks like and sounds like before I can make a decision."
I've seen cover bands before.
Yeah, but
I mean, yeah, but This may, you know, again, we've talked about our speculations on what that could be, but the whole point is, at least for me, I'll just wait and see first. How does it look? How does it sound? What's it like? Does it have the energy? Is the energy completely gone? Is that secret kiss attitude gone because it's all new people?
And I think
it wouldn't work for me, but I can't sit here and say no, because we don't even know what it is going to be yet. It's sort of like, don't comment on our podcast episode until you listen to what we say. I'm not going to comment on Kiss replacing Gene and Paul until I see if it's done, yeah. Until it happens. What does it look like? Who is it?
Yeah.
And, you know, and what are they trying to sell it as? Are they trying to go back out and go, oh, we're still just as big and come see us play an arena to 20,000 people? Or are they realistic going, yeah, we know it's not the original band, so now it's just going to be a couple thousand seater theater that we play. But maybe they go into, hey, maybe that set list gets completely opened up now. And all of a sudden it's really exciting because, holy crap, they're going to play Peter Criss's solo album. You know, then woo-hoo! I would say no.
No!
Lisa, go ahead.
If next year, next year's cruise, right? And Kiss not going to perform and make up whatever. Are you guys still going to go?
We already. That's already been determined. We're going because we have such a blast on it with the other.
That's what's my point is. Are you guys were saying like they got rid of some of the things, but would that deter you from going? I have not been on a cruise yet. Same thing with like Mike saying, you know, Tully's birthday is around there. My kids were young. Like the first cruise was what, 2011? Is that right?
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think
so.
2011.
My son was born.
Yep.
He was like an itty bitty baby. So, you know, and then, you know, 2012 happened. I mean, my kids were tiny and, you know, I didn't want to miss that Halloween with them.
Sure. Yeah. Family comes first.
Of course. And then when I told my kids, like just 2 years ago, I think it was last year, I said, you know, Kiss, they're not going to do the cruises anymore. I think that Kiss isn't going to perform. And my daughter said to me, why didn't you ever go? And I said, James was like baby and you were little. And she goes, so you didn't go because of us? I'm like, well, yeah. It was like, aww. And she goes, well, Mom, you can go now because we're not babies anymore.
Oh, nice, nice. I'll tell you this. The reason why we're going, and Zeus and I have said this the last 2 years, yeah, the Kiss thing is great. To me, Kiss is almost secondary to my enjoyment of the cruise.
That's what Mark says.
The bands that we saw this year and the experiences that we had with our friends on the cruise, Kiss is just like a backdrop to the cruise.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
To me, I mean, this the cruise that they're going to have in January of 24, they're going to do the Sail Away show with no makeup like they always do. But you're going to have the Gene Simmons band
A bunch of songs we've probably never heard.
If you're into Soul Station, that thing, they're going to do that. So it's going to be different.
That's awesome.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be a different experience. And these other bands that they have, it's like I say, Kiss is like the backdrop to the cruise.
And yeah. Lisa, one thing I want to add to this is every night on the Kiss cruise, before we all go crash, we go up to Kiss Karaoke. If you want to laugh and have fun, is watch all these Kiss fans go up and sing Kiss Karaoke. You will die laughing.
It's almost worth the price of the ticket watching shit-faced Kiss fans at 1 o'clock in the morning try to sing Black Diamond.
Well, you know what's funny is my husband played in a live karaoke band.
Okay.
That's where I met him. This was like 2002, 2003.
Okay.
And let me tell you, the best people watching is at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Get the crazy drunks up there trying to sing. And they don't even try for easy stuff. They're going like hardcore stuff that like a sober person can't sing.
Yep.
And it is hysterical.
Oh, no. It is unbelievable.
Imagine,
I think one of the big things talking about like what KISS is going to do after, I mean, I'm not breaking any news here, but COVID fucked this up so badly for KISS with the end, because I look at it as we've almost been, I was looking forward to what was going to come after the end of the road. And like Zeus has said it too. It's like, how can we miss you when you won't go away? I'm like, you guys are going back to Europe. You guys are going back to South America. You guys are going back to here. Like, they won't stop touring.
The problem is, I always like to say, is it's not the end of the road. The tour itself is the tours prior to the end of the road after Monster were identical.
Yeah.
And now the end of the road is identical. So really, since 2012, you're getting the same show, missing three or four songs. And that's why it becomes tiring. And that's why you get the haters. And that's why you get all the hatred that Paul gets. And everyone's just, I mean, we like to goof on the band too. But some of these people love to ruin the fun for everybody else.
Yep.
And that's what they live for. And we get our trolls. We get our people that are say this stuff. And most of them, and I deemed the coined a phrase, I call them are part of the Ace cult, where Ace is the only one in KISS that can never do any wrong. Ace is the real rock god, and Gene Paul got.
Kool-Aid drinkers, that too.
We call them the blue Kool-Aid drinkers, but they are the largest, most vocal group.
Yep. Yeah.
But the absolute craziest group, smaller numbers, are the pink Kool-Aid drinkers. Those are the ones you can't even begin to touch reality with, the pink Kool-Aid drinkers.
Yeah, but there's only five of them.
Well, that's the thing. They don't make a lot of noise, but by God, they are the absolute craziest. The blue Kool-Aid drinkers, they are a large group that are very vocal. And,
it's painful dealing with them.
You know, I mean, we, especially me, take heat all the time. You guys hate Ace Frehley. Yeah. How the fuck do we hate Ace Frehley? I mean, we've had him on the show. We promote his albums.
Yep.
We tell you to buy and support stuff. I'm like, what's the last time you as a blue Kool-Aid drinker did anything to help Ace's career?
Right. Right.
Did you go to the show? No. Did you buy his last Origins album? No, because I didn't like it. Well, then you're not a fucking fan, because I did. I bought three copies. I bought the digital download. I bought a CD. I went to the show.
Yep.
So the blue Kool-Aid drinkers are crazy. I mean, they're also the ones that I'm like, they're like, oh, Ace is coming to town. Oh my God. Look at, he's playing a great set list. I'm like, that set list is 3/4 KISS songs.
Oh, we talk about that.
That he doesn't sing right.
We talk about that all the time.
Ace Frehley play his own solo material. He had plenty of great solo albums he can play from. He doesn't need to play Love God.
We say the same
stupidest song. That's
we saw Ace
or Deuce.
We saw Ace.
Am I an Ace hater because I want to go see Ace play Ace songs?
We saw him 2 years ago open for Alice Cooper, and the majority of his set list, other than shit, I can't even think now. At the time, they weren't even playing
nothing
Rip It
off
out.
His solo albums.
Nothing, everything
except
was KISS
for a couple
songs.
From 78. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's that, like,
that would what? Be different though. If he's opening up for somebody, they're not coming to see him. They're coming to see Alice. So you kind of have to conform to.
Yeah, but
I get it.
But
my
feeling would be, if that's the case, if they're not coming to see Ace, then you don't need to play KISS songs. You got an audience that's new to you. True. Play true. Your material. And that's, anybody who is going to see Ace is a diehard Ace Frehley fan. The casual KISS fans are not going to go see Ace Frehley
his
in
band
concert solo.
Actually kicks ass.
Oh, oh my God.
I don't need incredible. Them. I don't need to hear them play Strutter.
No.
That is
no, I agree. I mean, so you know, this gets all back to the we can criticize, but we still love.
Yep.
And listen, I can't stand Ace Frehley's vocals on his solo albums.
Except for the
78 album. The 78 album was fine.
Yeah.
Everything else, I'm like, Ace, get somebody who can fucking sing lead vocals and you just play lead guitar. I, as a Kiss fan from 1976, fell in love with Ace Frehley's guitar.
Yep.
Not his vocal.
Yeah.
So please, but I'm not a hate, you know, I'll get called a hater because of that, but it's I still buy it. I still buy the music. I still support him. I still tell people, if you want Ace to keep doing stuff, you've got to go buy what he's doing.
But I
otherwise, he won't book shows. He won't do albums again. He won't release merch. You got to support him.
But here's the thing, Mike. We tease Ace all the time because of how he looks and how he sounds now and everything. I love Ace. I'm not a huge fan of his solo career, but I know that I don't want to hear Ace sing Led Zeppelin or Jimi Hendrix song. Those Orange albums are terrible. And I don't know why he keeps making them. I would rather hear new material. I would rather listen to an album and say, he tried to make new material, but I just don't like it. Rather than hear him sing Good Times, Bad Times and make me want to kill myself.
I don't like any band that does a covers album. To me, when any band does a covers album.
That's good, Lisa. That's a tribute album. That was great.
That's a cash grab.
Kiss My Ass. I love that album.
Ugh.
That was save our asses and buy time until something happened with our career.
Exactly.
Because basically, I think if you look at any band out there who releases an album of cover songs that influence them, they've run out of steam. Their career has hit the end of the road. They've run out of material. A record label is not supporting them anymore. It's a album a band will release to buy time. Nothing more than that, because those albums, I will buy them to support my favorite artist. I will listen to it once, and it gets put on the shelf, never to be heard from again. Yep. Because to your point, if I want to hear Led Zeppelin, I'll go play Led Zeppelin.
Right.
I won't play Ace Frehley doing Led Zeppelin.
But I sing so sweetly, don't you think?
What?
I'm sorry. I was just throwing my Ace impressions I like to do. I was saying I sing so sweetly. That's why everybody wants me to sing duets with them. I'm going to do one with Robert Plant next week. He needs to stop. And God bless him. But the thing that bugs me is the Kiss haters that give Ace free passes. He's doing box sets of fucking cassettes. But, you know, and then he'll throw his digs at Kiss. Oh, Gene will do anything for a buck. And that gets put on Kiss, but not on Ace. Or, you know, Tommy's wearing the makeup. Tommy's fake. But you had no problem when Eric Singer was wearing Peter's makeup. You played with that. You weren't saying anything about that. But all of a sudden now, oh, yeah, Tommy, get away. Give me my crown back and put me in the band. Like, it's that, and he
sorry Ace, you were the one that signed the contract selling your makeup at the end of the day.
Oh my goodness, this, we have to go through all that again too now.
This is where I really dig into the blue Kool-Aid drinkers. Yes. Like, you know, Gene and Paul don't care about the makeup, all they care about is money. I'm like, your hero Ace Frehley cared more about money than his own makeup. You, as an Ace Frehley fan, you care more about the makeup than Ace did.
That's right.
Ace sold it, got the money. He signed the contract.
I'll tell you right now, more tiring than the set list discussion is the Tommy and Ace wearing the Catman and Spaceman discussion. I can't stand that. I know everybody's got their opinion on it. That look, the way I look at it is maybe they'll change the set list. They're never changing Tommy and Eric. They're never taking that makeup off.
It would be a disastrous, absolutely stupid, horrendous business decision to get rid of that makeup.
You can't do it.
Who in their right mind would, hey, Coke, you need a new flavor.
Right.
How'd that work out?
We got to go back to the original.
That's what
they branded those four. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Talked about in the failure when we posted.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
that's when we posted Vinny
failure
and Eric Carr. we weren't saying they were failures as people, talking about the makeup choices.
Creating new images.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it goes to everyone was all up in arms saying we were saying that our cars, that's not what we were saying.
Yeah.
Like Mike said, of course. Then they're going to go, oh, yeah, that's true. You know, so.
I mean, the reality is, okay, Eric Carr has more recognition and notoriety than Vinnie Vincent does, for sure.
Yep.
Vinnie Vincent's makeup, how many casual Kiss fans, casual music fans know that makeup?
Yeah.
Right.
Because it toured the U.S. one time.
One time.
And a tour that bombed.
Yep.
And it was never on the cover of any Kiss album.
Right. No videos.
Right.
No videos, no official music videos. So nobody knew that makeup. That makeup did nothing to help sustain Kiss.
And poor Eric Carr. I'm sorry, Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa. Sorry.
You know, if you just saw it and no one told you what it was, would you even know what his makeup was meant, like what it was supposed to be?
I still don't think Eric Carr looks like a fox. I like Eric Carr, but I'm like, I don't know what that is.
But nobody knew that he was the Ankh warrior. Of
right.
No one knew what that was. Not that anyone knew what the demon was or either, but you throw in a new person and you're like, what the hell is this? You know?
Yep. Well, especially at the time it was happening, as you know, we love to say on Three Sites, timeline is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Creatures came out, if you weren't a Kiss fan, you're not going to understand what we're talking about.
Oh, but yeah.
Back then when Creatures came out, Kiss was dead.
Yep.
Dead. Even Kiss fans were leaving Kiss at that point in time. So that makeup did nothing.
Well,
I remember when I saw the concert ad, print concert ads for Creatures of the Night when they came to Minnesota, when I saw them, I was like, that doesn't look like Ace's makeup.
Yeah.
But that must still be Ace, because they weren't saying anything. I mean, right. Yes, they were, but it's not like now you just know everything.
Yeah.
At that point, I didn't know. I was just like, oh, it still must be Ace. Maybe Ace changed makeup. Okay, great. I'm going to a Kiss show. That's all that mattered. A Kiss show that was half the arena, the upper level was blocked off, and it was still only like 4,000 people that showed up to it. So, I mean, yeah. that's what we were talking about, is the reality of Eric Carr's makeup and Vinnie Vincent's makeup might have seemed back then like the thing to do. And frankly, it was the only thing they could do, because they couldn't use Peter and Ace's, because Peter and Ace still owned their makeup. But looking back at it now, that was, you know, as Paul is so fond of saying, what's next? Giraffe Boy? And, you know,
right,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, the whole,
you know?
Yeah.
One thing I want to add is look at the Three Stooges. We all know the Three Stooges. They've been dead for like 50 years, right? When you still see advertising Three Stooges, it's not Mo Larry and Curly Joe.
Right.
It's always Curly, because that was the face that people
right
put with the Three Stooges. So when they market the Three Stooges to this day, and they put the t-shirts up and people are still buying stuff, it's not with Shemp. It's always with Curly, because those are the faces that the brand built. So why the hell would Gene and Paul sit there and say, let's put something else up there? How many people are going to be like, I guess the Kiss fans will be like, oh, I need to get the set of all six faces because there's six different makeup faces. But most people will be like, what's this? They won't recognize that guy's a Kiss member. But if they see Ace makeup, the Spaceman makeup and the Catman makeup, even though Gene and Paul and the Star and the Demon aren't there, they'll still say, oh, that's Kiss. So why would they lose that? That's stupid. That's right. My brand. That's
And this whole gets back to, back in 1973, when all this started, they never thought this was going to be something they had to deal with.
Right.
Geez, do we have to deal with replacing members and coming up with new makeup? That was never a thought. This is them looking at their business, and every band is a business. and going, what makes sense to keep this business alive another year and another year and another year and another year?
Those four logos, those four makeup images are, you know, like the Mickey ears, or it's like the Darth Americana. Vader helmet. It's like the Spider-Man face. It's like the Iron Man mask. It's marketing for infinity.
Absolutely.
You can take the KISS logo and at least jeans makeup, and you could probably show those to anybody on the planet.
Yep.
Reasonably anybody on the planet.
Right.
They may have never heard a KISS song. They may have never seen KISS in concert, but they will know what that means.
Yep.
To your point, it's like Disney. It's like Apple. It's like Coke. They didn't set out to create a brand of that caliber. They did. And really, we should hats off to them, because that's pretty incredible to create something that is so recognizable around the world and will live honestly forever. Past the lifetime of the original four members, this will continue.
Mike, what do you think the next box set is? They're going to keep making them.
My guess was going to be the debut album to celebrate its 50th anniversary, which would be next year.
That's right.
But does that mean no box set this year? I don't know. Or do they release it on the anniversary next year, but announce it this fall?
I mean,
this is the perfect one.
I heard that there's a box set coming out this year, and then the 50th anniversary for 24. But I don't know if they would ever do a box set for a non makeup album, because everybody's like, oh, it'll be the 40th anniversary of Lick It Up. I'm like, they're not doing a Lick It Up box set, but maybe they will, because it's the first album with no makeup. I don't know.
I don't see them doing Lick It Up right after Creatures, just because I don't think they want to give Vinny attention twice in a row like that.
Yeah.
Would they do a non-makeup? They will do anything if the fans vote with their wallet. They will keep releasing it.
Let me ask you this, Mike.
That way.
We had this as a question of the week, and we know what Paul thinks about it, but we also know how they like to sell merchandise and they like to market. And they know, or at least I think they know, what KISS fans think of Phantom of the Park. And it is the 45th anniversary of Phantom of the Park. Are they going to acknowledge that in any way? Lisa's shaking her head no.
I don't think so.
The reason I disagree is because listen to how badly they butcher the Elder. And look at what they did for that anniversary. They put out a picture disc. They put out new T-shirts.
That's easy, though.
Yeah, but keep in mind, and this is what we try and discuss and help fans understand is, so it's not just, oh, yeah, that would make perfect sense and that'd be very cool.
Right.
Somebody else owns the rights to the Phantom of the Park movie.
Right, right.
Plain and simple. That's owned by somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, can they get it? Sure, they probably could. Can they get it and afford what somebody is going to sit here and go, I don't know, I think the last I heard, like, Warner Brothers owns Hanna-Barbera, which, so, you know, it'd be like going to Warner Brothers and saying, well, how much for us to get this? Well, Warner Brothers and go, ah, you're KISS. Universal, KISS, we're Warner Brothers. $50 million. I'm just making this up, people, so nobody quote me.
Right.
$50 million and you can have the rights to resell this. And people are going to be like, fuck no, we could never make money doing that. So there's a lot of great things that could happen, but there's a lot of stuff that doesn't happen for simple contract and rights and ownership reasons.
Of course.
That we as most fans don't have any clue about.
Go ahead, Lisa. Yeah,
I was going to say, what would they even, Like, what would they even include in something like
a
that?
A soundtrack.
The soundtrack. The Magic Mountain concert, because that's been available on
those bootlegs. Two.
That's been available on bootlegs for years. It's pretty much like, you know, a Blu-ray with a blue. Yeah, exactly. Ripping it.
Seriously, they could make it into an actual soundtrack theme and some of the original score, throw in some of that and make it look like you would buy a soundtrack from the movie.
A Blu-ray with commentary from Gene and Paul about how fucked up the production was.
I don't have a Blu-ray. I have some, what do I have? I have a Laserdisc.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Wow. A Laserdisc.
You know, keep in mind the box sets so far are audio only as well.
Of course,
including video in these box sets.
Yep.
So,
which is interesting.
It would be, it's more affordable. It's easier, probably. I mean, video means somebody else filmed it. Even though it's Kiss, somebody else filmed it, and that somebody else owns the rights to what was filmed, even though it's Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to audio, it's either owned by KISS or the record label. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, there's
and
the other
video.
The
video other part, complicates yeah. it a whole lot more. As you mean to who owns it? How much do they want for it?
You mean like you Sam know, Loomis?
I was going to say, don't bring that shit up. that old stuff. I don't understand it.
I had to say it.
I can't watch half cartoonish break. Half the song is there, then the other half is not, and then others. That to me, like, put it on a video that I can see nice and clean, I'll buy it. But yeah. I wasn't scrolling through YouTube.
I wasn't either.
Downloading all this shit. We have a KISS podcast, and that shit didn't interest me. That's the stuff that some KISS fans do that completely turned me off. And then they set up all these groups, and now they're name calling. Kurt Gooch is this and that. Look, I'm not a fan of Kurt Gooch. I'm not an enemy of Kurt Gooch. I don't know. But if he owns the shit, then he owns it, or whoever the other owners are. And if you're stealing that shit, you don't have a right to put that shit up free so a bunch of KISS geeks can get it for free. Oh, you're hoarding it. Fuck yeah, I'm hoarding it. If I paid for it, fuck off. Where the hell they get the logic? Like, I deserve to have it because I've been a fan from 76, and you're not a real fan if you didn't spend $10,000 to purchase this and then let me see it for free.
It's like putting a coin in Zeus, Mike.
What?
We're putting a coin in Zeus right now. Remember we said,
wind him up a quarter in Zeus.
I go on these rants every once in a while.
100% right. I agree. It's the old fans feel like they are entitled, they deserve, they're owed, whatever word you want to use.
Yep.
I've been a fan since day one. I've been to every tour. I bought every album. Dude, the only thing you are owed is what you spent your money for.
You bought a concert ticket,
you get a concert. That's it. You bought Dubai. You're owed Dubai, by the way, Kiss. You're owed something, but you're not owed. You don't accumulate stuff because you've been a fan for a certain amount of time. That's absolute ridiculous for any fan to sit here and go, well, I've been a fan since, like you said, since 1973, and Kiss has been sitting on all this video, and they haven't done anything. So I deserve to get it for free. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
To decide.
Back off.
Exactly.
If they want to sit on it forever, that's their right to do that.
Damn right.
Yep.
Fuck
off. Zeus, I don't see you playing those CDs behind you. Right now, you got to give every single one of those CDs away to a listener.
Fuck.
Yeah, you got to give those away.
They've been listening to you for 200 episodes. They deserve every one of those
CDs.
There's
a lot of country in there. They don't want them, believe me. Oh, you listen to country? That music sucks. Oh, fuck you.
You can't be a KISS fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're going to get shit for that.
Oh, yeah. We do some non-KISS episodes with Sonny Pooney, you guys must know.
Oh, I love Sonny. And,
yep.
Yeah. And it's our album review. We do stuff, and we just did like Operation Mindcrime.
Queensryche, baby.
Yeah, me and Sonny aren't fans of it. You would think like I went and destroyed their god, or like kicked over and spit on their parents' grave. Holy shit, I don't like it. What's the big fucking deal? You can like it. I'm not taking that away from you.
Everybody can like it.
Fuck.
Do you know how much shit I get because I like Pretty Boy Floyd?
No, that's kind of deserved.
Well, that is too far, Lisa.
That's way too far. Lisa, we love you, but that's you kind of deserve
Look at
that.
The time. Look at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a Creature Fest, though. I'll tell you what.
That's why you went to Creature Fest. Admit it.
Honestly, that is kind of true. I'm not going to lie. I asked my husband. I said, I'm going to go. I've talked about Creature Fest, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'll go see Bruce. You know, I love Bruce more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, I'll go see Bruce. And then I was like, oh, wait, Pretty Boy Floyd's playing. Oof. He's like, he goes, are you like fucking shit, me? And I said, no, I love Pretty Boy Floyd. He's like, oh my God, Lisa. He goes, I can totally see you going to see Bruce because, I mean, that's like talent. He goes, but I don't know about Pretty Boy Floyd.
But you get it, but that's okay. Just like we have these arguments all the time about Hot in the Shade. Tom and I are fans.
Love
and
it.
Everybody says they should take off.
Mike.
He's going to say, take off this 5 or 6 songs too many. But your 5 or 6 songs may not be my 5 or 6 songs. So
Hot
give
in the
me
Shade
the
is an album of unfinished demos.
Oh, I know.
Yes, and they're all awesome, except for Boomerang.
Yes.
So they should have finished them. But Gene and Paul didn't want to spend the money to hire a producer at that point in time in their career.
Regardless, you may not like it, but that might be my favorite album. It is not even close, but I'm saying. So give me the right to listen to. So the people that bitch about, oh, it's a fucking half a cover band. Well, you may not like this version of Kiss, but there are millions of people that do. And
you
they want to hear it. So
you know
fuck off.
Mike gets for liking Crazy Nights. Oh, my God.
I love Crazy Nights. Love that album.
Why should he get shit for that? Except I'll Fight Hell to Hold You in My Way are the worst songs in the Kiss catalog. They're terrible. Fucking terrible.
And listen, I get so much shit because I sit here and go, Alive 2 blows away Kiss Alive. I don't ever listen to Kiss Alive.
Thank you, Mike. Kiss Alive, I can do without.
I give the album full credit for what it did for Kiss's career, but I won't listen to that.
Kiss Alive 2
is so much better. But yeah, I mean, it's like, why would anybody care what somebody else thinks about what you like to listen to?
Exactly.
It changes nothing. I was talking to somebody earlier this afternoon, and I'm like, so I've been listening to Crazy Nights for 35 plus years now, loving it. And now today, because somebody comes up to me on a Facebook post and says, that's the biggest piece of crap album. I'm a musician. I'm telling you. I'm supposed to sit here and go, well, I guess the last 35 years I was wrong. Thank you for changing the way I feel about this. Dude, it's not going to happen.
Mike, we just went on a rant our last episode about people that preface their comments by saying, I'm a musician. So I was the guitar player
in an 80s cover band. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. You guys have no idea. Like, shut up. Just enjoy what you enjoy.
Didn't Kiss play Crazy Nights on that opening night in Manchester? Didn't they play Crazy Nights?
That song was part of the set.
Yeah, they switched that with Do You Love Me.
It was part of the set for a little while.
Yeah, they took it out for Do You Love Me because they played it in England when they went overseas because it's big there.
Yep.
And then they played it here for a couple concerts, and I think people were like, no.
People were
like, all right, let's put Do You Love Me back in.
They brought the balloons out. Remember, they brought the balloons out? It was awesome.
Yeah, it didn't last long though, Lisa.
No,
I don't think it was only in for a few shows.
I know, but I remember because I was like, oh my God, they have Crazy Eyes. I thought it was fantastic, but I think that song is a fun song. It makes you happy, makes you sing along. I mean,
I love the album.
It's the Gene songs.
Wait a minute, it's
the Gene songs, Michael, that are so underrated on Crazy Nights. I think so. Love them.
It was the first album in the 80s where I was like, oh, okay, Gene's now seems to be paying attention again. He's singing better.
Yep.
He's writing better. You know, I'll go back to the crap on Animalize that Gene contributed, Burn, Bitch, Burn.
Murder in High Heels.
You're not a big fan of While the City Sleeps?
Put my log in your fireplace.
I want to put a log in your fireplace. It's like, you know. I can sit back now that we know what was going on back then.
Oh, yeah.
I can sit back and go, oh, yeah, I know Paul called up Gene and said, Gene, I need 5 songs from you for this Animal Eyes album. If you don't get them to me by today, I'm going to put 5 of my songs in place of it. And Gene's like, hold on, let me sit down on the toilet. Here you go. Here's 5 songs.
I've got a song right now. It's coming to me.
It's a log in my fireplace, but it's coming out.
Did you ever hear Craig Gass do Gene's roast?
Oh, yes.
Al Pacino, these are lyrics from the Book of Animals.
Yeah, when he does that, that's fantastic. Under Al's voice, right?
Yeah, in your fireplace.
to some extent, I mean, that says something about Gene's skills. He can write and just spew out songs just like that. Just like that. It doesn't mean
it's
good.
The confidence level. It's the confidence that he has in himself.
And you know, and we've had people on our show where we've talked, contrasted Paul in the studio and Gene in the studio. Paul takes his time, and when he brings into the studio are done, finished, the best material he's got.
Yeah, Gene brings in a duffel bag full of demos.
Yeah, Gene brings in everything he crapped out that morning for breakfast.
That's right.
And it's like, here you go. Let's see if we can make something out of this. It's like, I mean, you know, and I'm sitting here as a person, I've never written a song and I couldn't write a song, you know, and I admire anybody who could write any sort of song.
Do you have $6,000, Michael?
No, I would never do that.
You can go write one with Gene in London if you'd like.
At Abbey Road, right? You can do that at Abbey Road,
yeah.
Right?
God bless him. You know he's going to get people that'll do it.
Oh, absolutely. God
bless you. Well, and at the same point, it's like, if that's, if that's your money and that will make you happy, God bless you. Go do that. Spend your money how you want to spend it, and don't let any of these other idiots on social media tell you you're spending your money the wrong way.
Damn right. Do what you want.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Hey, yesterday me and Tom went and saw the Winery Dogs. Excellent show.
Oh my God, incredible.
At the end, Richie Kotzen in his kind of weird way, he's a kind of weird guy, but he's like, hey, and don't forget, we got our new CD in the corner there, the merch booth, and the, you know, pick up a t-shirt over there. And I turned to Tom and I said, you're in the Kiss business, baby. That's all I can think of is Gene saying that in that Henry Rollins interview. Yeah. You sell t-shirts in your band, you're in the Kiss business. Baby. And I'm like, yeah, he's right. He's just not playing the game where he's ashamed to ask to buy their merch.
No.
And
he's not ashamed of money.
And he wants money. Money.
Terrible song. Terrible song.
Waiting for me.
That's a great song, Tommy. You guys are wrong about that.
It's a good song. I mean, if you're singing it and you know the lyrics,
song, I guess. Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we've taken up a lot of your time. We're really appreciative. What's going on with Three Sides? Another 10 years?
As long as this is true and this is honest, it's not a bit. As long as we have fun doing it every week, we'll keep doing it.
We don't give a crap what.
You know, obviously, we don't give a crap what people think of the shows, of the guests. We love if people watch, but if you don't watch and we have an episode that has 100 views, I don't care. If we had fun doing it, we're going to keep doing it. You know, it's 2, 3, 4 of us getting together every week.
Talking Kiss.
Friends, talking Kiss. You know, and sometimes we get some guests in here where we're just like, holy shit, this is some amazing stuff we're learning or talking about. We got no plans to change or stop anything. And right now there's a bunch of people out there going, boo, sorry, we're not going away. I mean,
you heard it.
We have fun doing this.
We have some failure episodes too, but usually
we all do.
And usually the ones that we think we always say this is a train wreck is really the funniest ones.
Zeus and I have had that conversation too. We'll do an episode and be like, yeah, that was pretty good. And then we'll get feedback and be like, did we miss something? Everybody loves this episode.
they're like, that was the best episode you ever did.
Or the ones you're proud of, and all of a sudden you get crickets. You're like, what the fuck? You guys didn't like that? I found that guy really interesting. You guys didn't like it?
But usually the best episodes are usually at my expense.
That is true. Lisa usually pulls something like falling off a chair, getting attacked by a hummingbird. Something happens with Lisa that we're just like, and people are like, you planned that, right? We're like, no. Three Sides of the Coin has zero show prep, zero scripting, zero planning of what questions we're going to ask. When we don't have a guest at the last, we literally sit here and go,
hit record.
I'm like, all right, let's just hit the record button and see where we go. And, you know, it might go good. It might go really bad. But that's part of the fun, at least the way we do it. I mean, again, not taking away from anybody who wants to do well-scripted and prepped out podcasts. That's not what we're about. We are truly we want you to feel like you just sat down with your KISS buddies in a bar and you start by talking about Creatures of the Night and you end up trashing on this. You don't know where the conversation goes.
Nice.
That's fun.
Some of the funniest, probably the one I laughed at the most is when, remember when Mark couldn't get his iPad to work? And are you... like he's trying to work it out. He doesn't know the volume, like the mic's on. He's like, son of a bitch. And then you like see the ceiling, you see a ceiling fan.
Yeah. He lays it down. You know, we laugh. He's like, when Mark has to leave early, he thinks he shuts off his iPad, but he just turns it, lays it down, walks away, and it's up at his ceiling. We're just like, oh, Mark's a joy for those unplanned, unscripted. You know, listen, the absolute funniest moment was Rob Halford.
Oh, God.
When Rob Halford at the end of the show is like, Mark, I think I'm going to go buy you a new router. We never told Rob Halford anything about Mark's router problems. Oh, and yet here's Rob Halford going, Mark, I'm going to go to Best Buy and buy you a router.
Mark.
Worst internet problems, like half the time it worked, half the time it didn't. And then like he'd give up and he'd just yell. He's like, fuck it, I'm done. I can't get
this. Oh yeah. We know we have those shows where Mark shows up and he's just you know, he's the cranky 3-year-old. He's the toddler having the meltdown. As all parents know what that would be like. And we're just like, yeah, we're not gonna make him happy. Let's just let him sit there in the corner and go.
Tommy always says it's the personalities that really make the show, and if they like the host,
oh yeah,
they'll listen to you.
They'll listen to you talk about anything. Yep,
it doesn't matter.
I've done speaking events at radio conventions talking about podcasts, and people are always, they're like, oh, how about show prep and mic and gear? And I go, the only thing that matters, and you people in radio should know this.
Yep.
It's the chemistry of that morning team. Yep.
That's right.
Howard Stern, people listen to Howard Stern, whether he's got a guest or not, because they like Howard and the team's chemistry.
Perfect example.
We want people to be the same way. It's like, oh, the show's even better because you've got a great guest, but we're going to still tune in because goddamn Mark's hilarious and Tommy's dry humor, and God, Lisa might get attacked by an ant this week and we don't know what that will do to her. And who's Mike gonna piss off purposely? You know, that's the chemistry. The chemistry of a podcast is more important than everything else.
It's true.
Nobody ever tunes into a podcast because you spent $1,000 on that microphone.
Right.
You will still be boring as hell, but you'll sound great being boring as hell.
It's true.
Hey, Tom, can I get one last question into these guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's going to happen first? The magic book comes out or Ace and Peter on stage with KISS at the end?
the magic book. Don't I am not commenting on that.
Tommy tried to get me to get in on that book when it first came out. Remember, you tried to get me in on that book. I'm like, what is this? Oh, you, if you get in, you can, they'll put your name in the
book. It is my life's mission. It is my life's mission to find that man.
Well, let's be honest. First of all, that book is never happened.
Never. It was never happening.
So when Ace and Peter are going to show up on stage with Kiss then?
Well, there's a good chance Ace will. Me personally, I don't.
I think there's some goodwill going on with Peter. I do.
I think the ideal thing that I would like to see, first of all, Ace and Peter will not show up in makeup, people.
No.
Don't ever think that's going to happen.
No.
The ideal would be a final show or series of shows where Peter shows up and sings Beth.
Yep.
And Ace shows up and sings 2000 Man
or Shock Me,
something like that. And they all members come out and do a rock and roll all night
with
finale.
Bruce too.
But here's
with
the thing.
Bruce.
Here's the thing, though. To that
and Vinny, right?
No, Vinny will never show up. No. Honestly, don't fool yourself to think Vinny will ever.
He
would
never get invited.
Show.
I don't think either.
He's not going to be invited. True.
Yeah.
No. So if Ace and Peter do get up and do that, they got to have to remember that Eric and Tommy are still going to be in makeup.
Of course, yeah.
And are they? And then.
Oh no! She gave the secret to Kiss.
Lisa's using the Mark Ruda.
Jean found out what she was going to say and cut off her internet.
Exactly. I think what she was getting to was, will Ace and Peter be willing to go up on stage and perform with two other people
in their
wearing
makeup?
Makeup?
Exactly.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. I don't know.
See, this is where you guys are all wrong. You're wrong.
It's a 50-50 toss-up.
You're wrong. I think, I've said this from the beginning, I think at some point Tommy and Eric go off.
Never.
Off the makeup.
Never.
Ace and Peter come on with the makeup. Nope. And then Tommy and Eric play without the makeup for the last few songs.
That's never going to happen.
Yep.
Never.
No.
In the world of Kiss, it's always been said anything's possible. And for the most part, that has always been true. I don't think there's any chance Vinny will be there. And I don't think there's any chance that Ace and Peter will be in makeup.
I agree.
Zero chance.
I agree. Yeah. And but again, like I said, I lost my router.
Welcome back, Lisa. Thank
you. I don't know what happened, but I guess I get a new router too. It would have to be okay, because remember the whole rock and roll Hall of Fame fiasco?
Oh, yeah.
He was going to play in makeup, and Ace and Peter did not want to perform with them in makeup. Remember that whole fiasco too?
Mm-hmm.
That could still be the same scenario if they do a final show, which could cause problems. So if anything that happens, if you're going to get this whole camaraderie on stage, what's going to have to happen, everyone's going to have to strip out of their makeup and do a final show, which that includes, you know, Gene, Paul, Eric and Tommy, Bruce, Peter and Ace.
I don't think there's any chance that you'll have a final show of Kiss makeup.
No, it'll be a song.
Not going to happen.
I've been saying this for a long time, and Zeus gets mad at me because I'm such a downer. I think the final show is just going to be the last show. I don't think they're going to do anything.
That's going to be disappointing, though. Then
it's going to be the last show. Well, have to have something. It's
going to
be weird if they don't.
I think they'll
do a big slideshow behind it with pictures.
More fireworks.
I think Gene and Paul have tried and want to try and do something. Honestly, I feel that. I feel like they want to. I think the problem is you've got Ace and Peter who are, you know, you got Ace sitting there going, the only way I'm going back on stage is if they give me my makeup back. Not happening.
Yeah, no
that
shit.
Is not going to happen.
Yeah.
What's Peter's feelings? I think Peter's quietly feeling the same thing. As a simple fan, yeah, I would love to see them up there in makeup. I could see two guys in Ace makeup, two guys in Peter's makeup. As a fan, that would be okay. Realistically, not a chance in hell will Ace and Peter be in makeup. Not a chance.
That's what you would want, Michael. And I agree. That would be amazing. In reality world, that would never, like, all them in makeup.
Never gonna happen. Gene and Paul are not gonna go. Gene, Paul, Eric, and Tommy are not gonna go off stage, take off the makeup, take off the costumes to do a final song with Ace and Peter. So I don't see that ever happening.
I think Eric and Tommy might, and then them come out.
I mean, if you got to appease it, I don't know. It's got to be a big negotiation thing.
I think Tommy and Eric would be, like, gracious enough to do it. I don't know if the other two, and I don't know if Paul and Gene would let that happen. You know, there's egos involved, too.
Same thing with the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure Tommy and Eric were like, we'll do whatever. We don't care. I think it was the powers that be that had, it was like, we're not going to perform.
That's how you ask, too. It's still personalities, though, Lisa, right? It's still personalities. Are you demanding, you that left the band and can't barely play anymore? Are you demanding we do this for you? Fuck you. Or are you graciously saying, listen, I want to get this work. How about if we do this? Let's negotiate. How about if I do this? Will you guys, if they do it that way, you never know.
But I think that Gene and Paul do that, but I think that maybe the reciprocated parties do not want to do that.
Absolutely. I agree. You think they get
girlfriends and wives involved.
Well, I was just going to say, look, if this gets fucked up, it's going to be because it's Ace and Peter's fault. Sorry, fans. That's what's going to fuck this up. It's going to be Ace and Peter.
I completely agree. And I think we've already seen that on Ace's part here. I mean, Ace has made comments in the last, 6 to 12 months where he's like, the only way I'm going to go back on stage is if they give me my makeup back.
That's right.
Money, too. That's big money.
And my makeup.
Yeah.
That's not negotiating and trying to make something work. That's sitting there making demand. And let's be honest, he's in no position to make any demands because that final Kiss show, even if it is without Ace and Peter, will still be huge. Yep. It will still be sold out. So Gene and Paul are not in a position of like, we need something to save this.
They're doing
this to be nice, gracious, and try and create a final of everybody. If the other two guys don't contribute to it, it's not happening.
You know what it is? It's their lawyers talking to them like, you know, Kiss is going to sell that as a DVD. You know, Kiss is going to make an album out of that. Are you getting any cut off that? We need to get some royalties off. Like, fuck you. You're not in the band. You don't get it. We'll pay you a fee for performing, and that's it. You don't get cut off our digital. You don't get cut off our albums that we put out of this.
If they were smart, they would do it.
That's the problem.
Of course, if they were smart, yes.
And even though it might not be to their monetary standard, you know, their expectations, which are high, you got to step back. I mean, yeah, I'm sure whatever it is, it's not going to be like, you know, a minuscule amount. I'm sure it's going to be a substantial amount to you and I, but it's like, you got to step back and go, you know what? I'll take that amount and I'm going to do this show and I'm not going to negotiate. I'm not going to cause rifts. And because I think that's what happens is they give them a set amount and they go, well, we want more. And that's where the problems are. And I'm sure it's not, it's an amount that is not like, okay, we're going to give you $50,000 to do this show. I'm sure it's not something like that, you know? But it's the greedy that comes in. It'll keep them off the road for six months
at least. It'll save him money from touring as a 70-year-old, and you can make more money doing that, and maybe a year's off the road of your life. Take the money.
I'm sure that Peter and Ace would benefit from that amount.
Yeah.
And if they just took it and didn't look into it so much and try to negotiate and do, you know? Yeah,
Peter ain't living off the one-for-all money.
I don't think those negotiations are going to be very sunny. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Mike.
Not going to be a sunny negotiation.
No, it won't be. Mike, tell everybody where they can find you. Obviously, they know where they can find you, but tell everybody your website, your socials. Where can everybody find you guys?
Just you can go to threesidesofthecoin.com. That's got links to all of our socials on there, or you can search for Three Sides of the Coin on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Instagram. You can listen to the podcast anywhere podcasts can be listened to. I mean, anywhere you get an audio podcast, we're there. What?
We're on Spotify, right?
We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. I mean, the big channels where people listen most are YouTube, Spotify, and iTunes.
Awesome. Guys,
and basically every week a new episode.
And we can also catch you on the Kiss Cruise YouTube this year, right?
Yes, it's in January. You have no excuse now. Come on. It's in January of 2024.
Yeah, Lisa, I still do. Lisa, I don't want to be on a cruise ship with 3,000 crazies.
You're going to come, and then right when you walk by, I'm going to spray it right on your back. And then wherever you go on the cruise, people are like, God, that woman stinks.
What do you call them? Like crop dusting.
Yeah, exactly.
Crop dust.
What does she eat?
That's what I thought in the elevator. I was like, oh my God, are people going to think like I totally like farted in the elevator? Like who smelt a Delta kind of a thing?
There you go. Well, listen, Michael, Lisa, pleasure to have you guys. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. This has been a blast.
Guys, thank you so much. Michael, Lisa, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You bet.
So that was Mike and Lisa from Three Sides. I had a blast. That could have gone on for a lot longer. And I'll tell you this. A lot of people are probably out there saying, why did you have Three Sides on? And people from Three Sides fans are probably saying, why did you go on Shout It Out Loudcast? Well, guess what? Because for all the stuff that we talk about on this show, we're still regular people. And we know that Mike and Lisa are regular people and Kiss fans. We met Lisa in person. We spent some time with her at Creatures Fest last year. As you heard during the interview, we reminisced about the liquid ass elevator story. But I had a blast talking about it. And here's the thing I noticed like during it and after, it didn't feel to me, I'm speaking for myself, it didn't feel like we had two guests on our show. No. It felt like the four of us were doing a show. Because I think we all share very, very similar personalities in general. And with Kiss, we're very opinionated. We're very outspoken. We have strong feelings both ways about what involves the band and what involves the Kiss community and social media and our Facebook groups, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought it was great. I thought we had a really good time. Mike and Lisa were very, very gracious, and I thought they were a ton of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, to be honest with you. That could have been at Creatures Fest. We walked down in the hotel lobby, saw them, sat down, and just the shit and had lunch with them.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike can be prickly, as he said. We can be fucking loudmouth, know-it-all morons. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to hate them and only like us. And you don't have to hate us and only like them.
Right.
They're fine. Like, and there's a niche for everybody. But if you're having fun and you enjoy talking about Kiss and you make it fun, it works. Say what you want, and we've said this since day one. You want to listen to a more of an academic podcast? You know where to go. Go over to Kiss FAQ. You want a big name interview? Boom, you can go to Three Sides. You want somebody to do a Kiss draft and do Ace impressions? Come over here. But say fucking something. That's why I can, you know, we joke about them. I need my meatloaf sandwich. We can joke and shit like that, but we will tip the fucking hat because they don't care if they piss off people. And well, that's the one thing I can really respect.
Well, the thing too, it all comes down to this. It all comes down to being authentic, being
perfect,
being the person that you are off the mic and on the mic. Now, sometimes Zeus and I have crazy senses of humor and we go nuts sometimes on this show. But this isn't an act, okay? And when we talk to Mike and Lisa, that's not an act. And they don't care if their audience is upset. Sometimes they embrace that because it increases the dialogue. They're not protecting them, their image or their audience. They don't, if they offend people, great. If they try to offend people, okay. But the worst thing you can do is play it safe with a band like Kiss when you're doing a podcast. Because guess what? You become boring and uninteresting. And that's the thing that whether you love Three Sides or not, they're never boring and they're never uninteresting. They might not tickle your fancy in the Kiss world, but you're going to get something that you're not going to get anywhere else. And we like to say think the same thing about us. If you want to be bored and talk basic shit.
Oh, there's plenty of fucking Kiss podcasts. And you know what? And there's an audience for them because people, Kiss has got such a big fan base. Anybody will listen to any Kiss podcast.
That's right.
But it doesn't make you fucking interesting. No. And you ain't going to fucking grow out of your little fucking group of the same people listen to the same fucking podcast because they just like music and they want to hear people talk about it. You're just never going to fucking grow out of it.
Mike had a great line. We were talking about like, you know, growing the show, your audience and people spending money on equipment and stuff. And he's like, yeah, that's great. You got $100 microphone. Now you sound great and boring.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a lot of people that make Kiss conversation boring and safe. And that's the fucking worst thing that you could fucking do.
Yep.
Dude, I don't give a shit that I can go out there and say Shandy sucks. And, you know, maybe 75% of you people are like, fucking, what are you, an idiot? And then 25% of you people are like, exactly. And then I'll say, let's put the XXX as a fucking brilliant tune. And half of you guys may say agree and half may not. That's my opinion. I don't give a shit. And I have fun with it. You can't be a fucking Kiss podcast and be safe and boring. And I don't want to upset anybody. And hey, happy times. Yeah. Oh, let's not talk about these things or let's not do this. Now, you have a right to because it's your fucking show. But I'm not interested in people that are going to give me the safe fucking place. And there are people that will only listen to safe space Kiss podcast.
Well, it's the same people that will only subscribe to certain Facebook and Twitter pages because they don't want any critical thinking. They don't have any sense of humor. We've talked about this all the time.
Yeah.
People like that bitch on our I can't even remember her name. And if I did, I wouldn't say it anyways. She would come after us on Twitter and Facebook. We'd be making jokes about Paul or Ace, and she'd be like, Oh, I guess it wouldn't be Shout Out Loudcast if you weren't shitting on Kiss. I'd be like, well, then why are you in this fucking group then? Why are you here?
I like the pictures people share. I mean, come on.
Ultimately, what we're saying is this. Just, it's like that line in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when Steve Martin is flipping out at John Candy. Here's an idea. Have a point. It makes your story so much more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly it. And, you know, does it mean that we're best of friends? No, but there's a mutual respect there. And, you know, I have to hand it to them.
Yeah.
They're considered the big boys. Now, they may not be bigger in numbers in podcasting, but when you add up YouTube and everything else they've been doing and what they've been doing and who they have connections to and who they get interviews with, you got to tip your hat.
10 years, 500 plus episodes. And every week it's either them shooting the shit like us or they have some big name. I mean, look, it's there's a reason
for variety too, Tom. I'll give them credit. I absolutely like the variety. Mark has got his fucking nerdy collection shit, which they give him a hard time. Lisa knows a lot of people in the band and the music community. She has her input.
Yep.
You got Tommy taking photos and all this stuff and being a fan of certain bands for all these hours. And of course, Mike and his background in marketing and music and working for Kiss years ago on their website. Bringing me something.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear like, and the same thing if you want to listen to FAQ. Now, I know they don't want to ever mention us, I don't give a shit. There are certain topics that we're not going to go down that stuff. And they probably have a lot of research on. I'll listen to it.
Absolutely. Of course.
And it's okay. But at least give me something.
Yep. Yep. It was a great interview. It was really nice to finally meet them and talk to them and just riff on everything. I mean, we went through it all and it could have kept going.
Yep.
So exactly. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm sure you guys are surprised when you open up your podcast app on Saturday and be like, wait, what? So I think it's cool.
Well, Tom, we go to question of the week next. What do we got?
Yeah, we got a question of the week. This comes from Philip on Facebook, and it is a topical question. These are the ones I love that we can kind of bank. And it's a question about compilations. So obviously last week our episode was about a compilation, and he says, hey guys, love the show. Looking at compilations, it seems like the last compilation that Kiss released was 2017's Kiss World. So it's been almost over 5 years since there was a Kiss compilation, and they were coming fast and furious. Do you think now that with the advent of these official box sets and the Off the Soundboard series, that Kiss compilations are a thing of the past?
Well, I think they've used up all the names. Best of, greatest.
Very, very bad. Don't forget very best.
Icons, you know. But no, they'll come out with something years down the line because Kiss is retiring. They'll throw out something together. But yeah, I think the box sets will be there for the real diehard Kiss fans.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll put out something every once in a while. There's this new series of compilations that are like the 20th Century Masters. That's a series. Best of our series. There'll be another one that comes out. I'm sure Kiss will be involved. Yeah, I think there'll still be some, but there's no need to bang them out right now. They haven't released a fucking new song since 2012, really, from their last album.
Yeah, I think it will be. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to go away, but I think, look, they those things came out primarily in like the CD era. I mean, I know Kiss World came out when vinyl was hot, not as hot as it is now. But I also think a lot of historically compilations are a result of a band trying to fulfill a record deal. You know, sometimes like, hey, let's throw a greatest hits album here. But then you have these series like 20th Century Masters was a series that was done by Mercury that encompasses like 100 different bands. So that's a different one. But I don't know. I think. Look, I'm hoping, and I try not to let myself down, but it's tough being a Kiss fan. I'm hoping that when all is said and done, that they do another type of a box set or another type of chronicle of the band, the 50-year something. But in terms of like these compilations that have 12, 15 songs, I don't know if you're going to see those again. I mean, I don't know. If you do, we'll buy it and we'll probably do an episode on it. So who knows?
Exactly.
But Philip, great question. I love those topical questions. And yeah, compilations, especially with streaming now. I don't know. Are they a thing of the past? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Tom, where can people find us?
Our website's the best place to go. ShoutItOutLoudcast.com. ShoutItOutLoudcast.com. You go there, you can find every episode from Shout It Out Loudcast, from Album Review Crew, from Dorm Damage, Zeppelin Chronicles. You can click on the links to join our Patreon, buy our merch from Amazon, use our Amazon shopping link, click on links for some of our friends, shows that we've been on, people that have been on our show. It's the best place. You can find everything there. And of course, you can message us directly from the website too, which is an awesome feature. And you can also send us emails. We love the emails. We say this every week. We read every email. Sometimes we don't get to all of them on the show, but believe me, please send your emails. We read them, okay? And that is shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. And, of course, our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, very active. Tag us. Send us DMs. Tell us what your plans are for this end of the road tour. Are you going to go to these shows? Are you going to try to go to Madison Square Garden? I could tell you, I don't care if we're sleeping under a subway car. We're going to those shows. Hopefully both of them. But that's a story that'll be down the road. End of the road, maybe. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, our wonderful Patreon family and our buddy Tony from Australia, thank you so much for becoming part of that family. And we always like to say that we are a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yeah, people can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're almost up to 1,000. That's a magic number. Please go onto YouTube and subscribe. And don't forget to give us a 5-star child review. Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck it's called.
Whatever the fuck you guys call it.
Spotify, Stitcher, Facebook, wherever they give five-star reviews, please give us one. That's a great way to help out the show. The other way to help out the show, as Tom mentioned, is our Patreon family. And then you can get merch. Now, it was awesome. We talked about it. We did just released a Dorm Damage episode. We saw the Winery Dogs. We run into three Patreon members. Each one of them had our gear.
Awesome.
Oh, so.
We mentioned that in the Dorm Damage Winery Dogs concert review. We don't want you to think that we saved that for the end of this. We spent a lot of time talking about them earlier. So
yeah, that was AJ, Rudy, and John, I believe.
Yes. Great time.
And they all had our merch. So that picture will be on our website. So if you want to get on our website as well, make sure you get your Shout It Out Loudcast gear. You can get it on Amazon, or just go to our website, hit the link, go to our Amazon store, and you'll find Shout It Out Loudcast gear. Take a photo, send it to us, give us permission, we'll put it on the website.
Yep.
I always like to repeat our email, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, and the website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. We worked real hard on the website. It's really interactive. You guys are really using it. Most of our episode feedback nowadays are actually on the website. So if you look at an episode, there, anytime you post, now that episode will always have that post, unlike our social media accounts where it just gets pushed down into, I don't know, the never-ending social media world and you don't see it. But on our website, your post will remain and then people can comment on that and it just nonstop and continuous. So please use our interactive website. We really appreciate it. ShoutItOutLoudcast.com. So we always end with famous last words. Tom, do you have any?
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know why I'm torturing myself with this one, but I'm feeling nostalgic because it's the end of the road. And anyways, once upon a time, you were a child, but that was yesterday. Believed that magic in your heart would never fade away, but hold your head up high and let your spirits fly. We are one.
Every time I wait.
When they played that on the cruise, I almost tied an anchor around my neck and jumped overboard. Fucking horrendous.
I got another obscure one for you, Tom.
Okay.
Especially after today. You keep on shouting. You keep on shouting.
Perfect. Perfect.
I want to thank Three Sides, Michael Branvold, Lisa Martini. I want to thank my partner here, Tom, Loudcasters, Kiss Army. Thank you very much.
Guys, you're the best. A huge thanks to Michael Branvold and Lisa Martini of Three Sides of the Coin. You guys were great. We had a blast. Thank you so much. And thank you to all you guys out there. You're the best. And Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Cut out the jibber jabber. Don't be babbling like a fool. Say what you got to say. That's all. Then shut your dang pothole.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.